ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദിഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദ അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദ അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദ അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു അനുശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ്. നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാദ് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവാം ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ. നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൺ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയം. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാ. നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാത് അമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതമപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിതീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസോനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൻ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുകൊണിദാദൃദാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേർ മധുരീം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി. നമ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീനാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീസരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാം അനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണം പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയപ്രദീപം പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ സ്തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമം സർവൗപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുലാം അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈ രണനദീ കൈവർത്തകേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജം സരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകേ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈ അഹരഹ പേപീയമാനം മുദാം ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതപങ്കജക്കലിമലം പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുത സ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ അസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ അർജുന ഉവാചം പരം ബ്രഹ്മ പരം ധാമ പവിത്രം പരമാം ഭവാൻ പുരുഷം ശാശ്വതം ദിവ്യം ആദിദേവമജം വിഭും ആഹുസ്ത്വാദൃശയസർവേ ദേവർഷീ നാരദസ്തഥാ അസിതോ ദേവലോ വ്യാസ സ്വയം ചൈവ ബ്രവീഷിമേ സർവമേതൃതം മന്യേ എന്മാം വദസി കേശവ നഹിമേ ഭഗവാൻ വ്യക്തി വിദുർദേവാനദാനവാം സ്വയമേവാത്മനാത്മാനം വേദത്വം പുരുഷോത്തമ ഭൂതഭാവന ഭൂദേശ ദേവദേവ ജഗൽപദേ വക്തുമർഹസ്യ ശേഷേണ ദിവ്യ ആത്മവിഭൂതയ യാതിർവിഭൂതിർലോക നിമാം സ്വാം വ്യാപ്യ ദൃഷ്ടസി കഥം വിദ്യാമഹം യോഗി സ്വാം സദാ പരിചിന്തയൻ കേഷു കേഷുജ ഭാവേഷു ചിന്തയോസി ഭഗവന്മയാം വിസ്തരേണാത്മനോ യോഗം വിഭൂതിം ച ജനാർദ്ദന ഭൂയ കഥയ തൃപ്തിർഹി ശൃണ്വതോ നാസ്തി മേ അമൃതം. ദീസ് ആർ ദി വേഴ്സസ് വിച്ച് അർജുന ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ടു കൃഷ്ണ. കൃഷ്ണ ആൻസേഴ്സ്, ശ്രീ ഭഗവാൻ ഉവാചാം ഹന്തദേ കഥയിഷ്യാമി ദിവ്യ ആത്മവിഭൂതയ പ്രാധാന്യത കുരു ശ്രേഷ്ഠ നാസ്തി എന്തോ വിസ്തരസ്യ മേ. വി ഹവ് സീൻ കൃഷ്ണസ് ആൻസർ ടു അർജുന. ഹി ബിഗിൻസ് വിത്ത് ദിസ്, അഹം ആത്മാ ഗുടാകേശ സർവഭൂതാശയ സ്ഥിത അഹം ആദ്യം ച മദ്യം ച ഭൂതാനാം അന്തമേവ ച. സോ അഹം ആത്മാ, ഹിയർ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ്, ദിസ് വേഴ്സ് ഇസ് എ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് വേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദി ഭഗവത്ഗീത. മെനി മഹാത്മാസ് കൺസിഡർ ദിസ് ആസ് വൺ ഓഫ് ദി മോസ്റ്റ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് വേഴ്സസ്, ബിക്കോസ് ത്രൂ ദിസ് വേഴ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് ടോൾഡ് അസ് ഹു ഹി ഈസ്, അഹം ആത്മാ ഗുടാകേശ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് തിങ്, അഹം ആത്മാ ഗുണാകേശ സർവഭൂതാശയ സ്ഥിത. യു കാൻ്റ് എക്സ്ക്ലൂഡ് എനി വൺ ഫ്രം കൃഷ്ണസ് പ്രസൻസ്. കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് പ്രസൻറ്റ് ഇൻ എവ്രിബഡി. അഹമാത്മ ഗുണാകേശ സർവഭൂതാശയ സ്ഥിത. സോ ദാൻ യെസ്റ്റർഡേ വി ഹവ് സീൻ വെദർ സംവൺ ആർഗ്യൂസ് ദാറ്റ് ഗോഡ് ഡസൻ്റ് എക്സിസ്റ്റ്, വെദർ സംവൺ ആർഗ്യൂസ് ഗോഡ് ഡസ് എക്സിസ്റ്റ്, ദേ ആർ ഓൾ ഇൻ ദ സെയിം കാറ്റഗറി. ദർ ഇസ് നോ ഡിഫറൻസ് ബിറ്റ്വീൻ ദം. വൺ ഹു ആർഗ്യൂസ് ഗോഡ് എക്സിസ്റ്റ്, one who argues who God doesn't exist, they are both in the same category. Why? The person who is arguing existence of God and the person who is arguing the non-existence of God, in both of them, who is present? God is present. Krishna is present there. So there is no question of excluding or a discussion or a debate or any kind of controversy on that issue. There is no discussion at all. That is what we are saying here. So one group says God doesn't exist. And that person who says that God doesn't exist, who is he? The person who is saying that, from whom is this question coming? If Krishna is not there, you can't ask that question. That is the simple truth. It is because of Krishna's presence only we are able to speak. We are able to think, everything, all sorts of energy Krishna is saying is this Ahamalma Gudakesha. Krishna's presence inside, only due to that the senses are functioning, the mind is functioning, intelligence is functioning, body is functioning. Even just to, Bhagavatam says, Abrahma Trina Aryandam. That means right from a small grass it moves, right up to Lord Brahma, it is Krishna's presence that moves everything. ആ ബ്രഹ്മ തൃണപര്യന്തം, ഇറ്റ് സേസ് ഫ്രം തൃണം, ഫ്രം ദ ഗ്രാസ് റൈറ്റ് അപ് ടു ലോർഡ് ബ്രഹ്മ, ഇൻക്ലൂഡിംഗ് ലോർഡ് ബ്രഹ്മ. ഇൻ ഓർഡർ ടു ലോർഡ് ടു ലിഫ്റ്റ് ബ്രഹ്മ ടു ലിഫ്റ്റ് ഹിസ് ഹാൻഡ്, ഹി നീഡ്സ് കൃഷ്ണസ് അപ്രൂവൽ ഫ്രം ഇൻസൈഡ്, അതർവൈസ് ഹി കനോട്ട് ലിഫ്റ്റ്. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹൗ വി ആർ ഡിപ്പെൻഡൻ്റ് ഓൺ കൃഷ്ണ. സോ ഓൾ ദീസ് ആർഗ്യുമെൻറ്റ്സ് അബൌട്ട് ഗോഡ് എക്സിസ്റ്റ്, ഗോഡ് ഡസൻ്റ് എക്സിസ്റ്റ്, ഓൾ എ വേസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ടൈം, ടോട്ടലി യൂസ്ലെസ്. ദിസ് ഈസ് ഷോസ് ദിയർ അജ്ഞാനം ഇൻസൈഡ്. വിദ്യ ഈസ് സോ ഇൻസൈഡ്, ഡീപ് ഇൻസൈഡ്, that they are finding difficult, they feel themselves, their egos are so strong that they find it very hard to accept that Krishna is present in everyone. So where is Krishna present? How and who wants to see Krishna and who denies Krishna's existence? We call Krishna, it doesn't matter what you call, but that Chaitanyam living force, that's more important for us. In Vedic literature, they refer to as Krishna. Somewhere else, maybe in some other name. But what matters is the vastu is the same. That living force, Chaitanyam in everyone. So, in the same way, who is seeing this world? Who is arguing against and for again? And who is a householder? Who is a sannyasi? Who says I am happy? Who says I am distressed? In all these different experiences, these are all samsaram. This is what's called samsaram, material existence. Material existence means I am experiencing the happiness of this world, distress of this world, that is material existence. So whoever is experiencing the happiness and distress, so there has to have a source for that, which is called as Adhishthanam. Adhishthanam. That Adhishthanam is this Aham. That is why Krishna is referring it to here. Aham Alpa Gudakesha Sarvabhuta Shastida. Without that Aham, all these things won't happen. So, yesterday we mentioned this also, that because I am existing, for me the world is existing. Because Aham is there. My awareness, my consciousness is there. Therefore, this world is existing for me. And because Aham, I am, my awareness is there, all other objects in this world exist for me. Otherwise, they don't exist. So, we have to look at it a little bit more carefully. In the world, all religions have come from this understanding. What is that? Jiva, Ishvara and Jagat, isn't it? Living entity is Jiva. World is the Jagat. And Ishvara is the God. Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat. These three things are called Tripudi. They are called Tripudi. So, all the three things we have to be clear in ourselves. We have to define them properly. So, who created this world? That is one definition. Who created this world? And that is when we require Ishvara. We require Ishvara, a God, to answer that question. Who created this world? Ishvara has created this world. So, then the question will come that the person who has created this world, that creator, Ishvara, where is he? Where is he? And how does he look like? Where is he present? All these things. That is second question. And the third question is, these, all of us, the jivas, who is suffering endlessly in this material world, where will they go after they leave their body? All these questions comes from that. Where did they come from and when will they go at the end? All these questions will come when you have these three entities, Jiva, Ishvara and Jagat, isn't it? So, what is their destination? This question will come from there. So, it is here that whichever book, whichever scripture, which talks about these three things, Jiva, Ishvara and Jagat, that is called religion. That's what's called religion. Religion is that. But experience or awareness of consciousness, there is no name for that. We may call it a spiritual life or self-realization process, whatever we may call it. But it cannot be defined like the way you can define a religion. Religion you can define in these three ways, in these three positions. Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara. Three things. But Anubhuti inside, awareness inside, aham asmi, awareness, consciousness, which we are all the time we are conscious of, that cannot be defined by any particular name. So, in the scriptures, to suit your mind, manomandalam, in the mental plane, there are so many stories and so many instructions. In a particular level, it is spoken for us. All the religions in this world, they will present like that. Every religion, they will give you a lot of stories, a lot of instructions, good instructions, what we should follow, things like that. That's all spoken in all the religions. It is there. Hinduism, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, everywhere it is present there. But Krishna is asking here, the God you have mentioned in your understanding, or the God you are talking about, and the world you are seeing, are they there in the deep sleep? There itself the question ends. See, you have developed a particular concept of God, isn't it? That he is there. Some people say he is very old, some people say he is very young. Some people have different projections of that form of God. In different religions, in different ways, isn't it? In Buddhism one way, Jainism another way, Christianity in one way, Islam another way. So many different concepts about God in that way. Question is, that is a kalpana. We all have our own, whichever scripture you follow, accordingly you take that. So that God whom you have developed in that way, and this world what you see, out of these three, Jiva, Ishwara and Jagat, Ishwara and Jagat automatically disappears in Sushupti. In deep sleep state, neither of them exist. Because Ishwara is only there when you have the mind. It is in your mind, that concept of Ishwara, God, isn't it? So sometimes the mind develops a form, a personality, and accept it. Mind accept that, isn't it? Remaining times, you are busy with the family affairs, managing the family life, all other sufferings and miseries of this world, and so many other things in your mind, in the same mind. Sometimes you have some memory of Krishna or memory of Jesus or memory of Allah, whoever it may be, in your mind, but remaining time, it's not there 24 hours, isn't it? It's only sometimes. When you go to temple or when you chant the holy name, you may remember that form. In every religion, I'm saying, it is like that. But remaining time, what's happening? The mind is busy with our family matters and also with the other things, our miseries of this world, all problems of this world, disturbances and distress, everything we go, it comes, keeps coming back and suffer from that. But so many things like that. But as soon as you go to Sushupti, when you go to that state, if you conduct a research on that, it's an amazing experience, isn't it? That Sushupti. What's happening? The world goes, the body goes, and everything disappears in the deep sleep, including your ego. So, no matter how great a pure devotee you are, you cannot take him to the deep sleep state, can you? You may be the greatest pure devotee of this world, but when it comes to deep sleep, you can't take him there. So, that Ishwara or God who is in your imagination or sankalpam, you can't take him to the deep sleep state. Because Ishwara, what does it mean, Ishwara? Ishwara, according to this, Ishwara means he has to be present all times. Past, present and future, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, in all states he should be present. Otherwise he is not Ishwara. Because that is what Krishna is saying here. Have you noticed? He says here, Aham Adishcha Madhyanja Bhutanam Andamevacha. Adhyam Madhyam Andam. Otherwise he is not Ishwara. Similarly, if he is not present in Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, you can't call that God as Ishwara. That God is only in your mind. You see that difference? The God whom we have developed around whom an image in our mind, and who we think that is in our mind. It has been developed on the understanding that in the vacant state and possibly in the dream state, he may come to you. But in the deep sleep, he will leave you. That God will leave you. That God what you have cultivated in your mind. So here, Krishna is saying, that is not Ishwara. Why? Aham, that awareness inside, Adischa Madhyamcha Bhutanam Andamevacha. In all the three states, who is present? Krishna is asking that question to us. That's me, that awareness. And that is what I am, Krishna says. Aham Alma Gudakesha, that is the importance of this verse. You see, you may say so many things. In this world, people are fighting about God. Who is God, isn't it? So somebody says, our scripture tells about the God. Somebody else says, his scripture is the right thing about God. Vedantam says, none of them. Because as soon as you come to the deep sleep state, your God is gone. Where is he gone? Krishna is saying to us, Aham is the God. Aham means that awareness inside, consciousness inside, Krishna says, I am that consciousness. You are also that consciousness. But only thing is, Krishna has not forgotten that he is the consciousness. We have forgotten that we are the consciousness. That's all the difference is. That is why this verse is so important to understand Krishna properly. Aham alpa gudakesha sarva bhutashaya sthita aham adhyam cha madhyam cha bhutanam andameva cha. So can you see this? In the Vibhuti Yogam, the first Vibhuti, Krishna has thrown this as the first one, before everything else. From now on, there are so many other Vibhutis spoken. But why this has been put as the first one? Because this is the most important Vibhuti, manifestation of Krishna. Vibhuti means manifestation. So the most important manifestation of Krishna is this. Aham alpa gudakesha sarva bhutashaya sthita aham adhyamcha madhyamcha. He should be present in all the three states. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. He should be there. He should be present in the past, present and the future. He should be present in all the states. And above everything, above all these three things, he should be present now. Right now. When we are speaking, he should be there. And no one can refute this, can you? That Krishna's presence in me, because of that I am able to speak. Krishna's presence in you, because of that you are able to hear. All this is due to Krishna's presence. This is the proper explanation to God. Not that some form somewhere, doesn't matter who it is, somewhere. Krishna's explanation is the best. In the way Krishna has put it to us, there can't be anything more logical than this. Why Vedantam is recognized everywhere as a completion of the, where Krishna himself says, isn't it? That Vedantam, the end of knowledge, is for only this reason. You may approach as Krishna, the form we worship him. Somebody else may worship another form. But the original nature or the explanation to that is, has to be like this. One who is present in all the three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, one who is present in the past, present in the future, and one who is present right now, without whose presence we cannot communicate each other. We cannot speak, we cannot hear, neither of them. So, that is why in Bhagavatam, how does it say? Upalabdhamatram. Upalabdham. Upalabdham means you must have it now, not sometime later after death. If you look into Bhagavatam, if you study Bhagavatam seriously, you will see this. In the Upalabdham, the word they use is Upalabdham. Upalabdham means he should be available for you now. Who? Krishna should be available now. If you look into the 11th canto, you will see that he mentioned the Ekadashaskandam, Pipalayana Maharshi is saying this. He says here, in the verse, that is chapter 3, verse 40, in the 11th canto, 40, 40, 11, 3, 40, says here, Yar bhaktya chedo malani vitamed gunagarma jani tasmin vishuddham ubalabhyadam atmadatvam sakshadyadhad amaladrusho savidru prakashah. Yar abjanabacharaneshanayoru bhaktya chedomalani vidhamed gunakarma jani tasmin vishuddham ubalabhyadam atmadatvam sakshadyadham amaladrusho savidru prakashah. Very explicitly, Pipalayana Maharshi says here, Tasmin Vishuddham Ubalabhyadam Almadatvam. One who is present all the time, which is available for everyone right at this moment, Almadatvam. That is Almadatvam. Sachadhyadham Amaladrisho Savidar Prakashah. That it is his presence that what we have to recognize. That is the way to recognize Krishna. That's the way to recognize Krishna. If it is not there, then that is not truth. Krishna himself says that one who is always present, isn't it? Otherwise, it's not the truth. Because another definition of Krishna is absolute truth, isn't it? In other words, all time, in past, present and future, everywhere, all over the creation, what is available and what is truth, that is what is discussed in the Bhagavatam. And suppose, like in our concept of God at the moment, In one country, they follow one religion. Another country, they follow some other religion. Now, this God who is in this country is not available in the other country. That cannot be God, is it? Or that God who is good, who is available in that country is not available in this country. So how would you connect with all this? Then you have to go on belief only. That's all you can do. You have to accept this is our God because we are all worshipping the same God in that way. That doesn't logically present it. Actually, all times, everywhere, he should be present. And if it is, he's only present in one country or one land, then he is not God. So, similarly, if he is present in only one time, just like if you look at it this way, that God, our God was only present 5,000 years ago, your God was here only 2,000 years ago. Sometimes people argue like that also. That is also not... No, God has to be present all the time, everywhere, all the time. That is the definition. So, according to the time, according to the place, he cannot be limited. If you are limiting the God to a particular time or a particular place, then it's finished. Then it's not God anymore. So, if it is like that, then our concept of God is, he's another person like us, who lived here 5,000 years ago and who has gone after that. Only thing, he's lived a little longer than us, 125 years. We may not live that long, and he has come and gone. Like we'll come and gone, he has also come and gone. The concept will become like that, isn't it? All these problems will come. This is the reason why this verse is important. So that Ishvara, whether you call him Paramatma or Brahman, whatever you may call him, whichever way you address it, but it is a vastu that is present all the time in Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, in the past, present and the future. And in all times, there is no changes happening in him. And it is always available to everyone. Nitya Siddha Vastu. Nityam Siddha Vastu. So, only such a vastu, such an object can be addressed as God. Paramatma or Bhagavan or whomever way we want to addressing is another thing. That is a way in different languages you address in a different way. But keeping this concept, what Krishna has spoken in this verse, one should do the Atmavicharam, Mananam, should be performed on that. Nididhyasanam, if it is performed that, then that is a proper concept of understanding of Krishna. Otherwise it is not. Because you can see, the whole world is changing all the time, isn't it? Everybody complains that world is changing. Some places where you have been before, after many years when you go back there and you see everything has changed. Here things are changing, everywhere things are changing. Including the sun and the moon, everything is changing. And it's moving, isn't it? It's all changing, it's all moving. And Vaikuntham, Kailasam, Golokam and all, we don't know at the moment. All what we know is from the Shastram, they have given different information about them. But when all these things are going on, planets are changing, world is changing, people are changing, so much changes are all going on everywhere. But there's one thing, under all circumstances, permanent, which never changes. That's this awareness inside. Ahamasmi, ahamasmi. That is experience, isn't it? So that is the only truth in all these things. Everything else is changing. That is why Krishna is saying there, sarva bhuda shayasthita. See that word? Aham sarma gudakesha sarva bhuda shayasthita. Krishna said like that, sarva bhuda shayasthita. In other words, in all living entities, Ashayasthita. Ashaya means Hridayam. Hridayam means heart. Isn't it? One who is present in everyone's heart. In everyone's heart. This same thing in Bhagavad Gita, this has taken from Brihadaranya Upanishad. This has been taken from Brihadaranya Upanishad. How Brihadaranyam says about this is, it says that the... Sarveshu Bhudeshu Tishtan. In all living entities who is present, Sarvebhyo Bhudai Abhyandaraha. As the in all living entities, Antaryami, who is present inside. Yam Sarvani Bhutani Navidu. What's interesting about that is we don't know about him. He is present in every one of us, but we don't know about him. Yasya Sarvani Bhutani Shariram. In all living entities, in their body, his presence is there. Sarvani Bhutani Andaro Yamayati Yeshada Altmana Andaryami Amrutaha. Altmanam Andaryami Amrutaha. In other words, all body is actually him who is present in the form of the body and who controls all the living entities from inside. Who is that? Andaryami. Andaryami. And which is our self. Immortal self. That's why it's here. Sarvani Bhudani Andaro Yamayati. Andaro Yamayati means one who controls from inside. And Eshata Altman Andarya Amrita Iti Adibhudam Adhyatmam. Iti Adibhudam Adhyatmam. And this verse, this principle, what he has, Buddharanda Upanishad says here, Krishna has brought it here and said, Aham Altma Gudagesha Sarva Bhudashya Sthita. That is how it has come. The same Andaryami principle in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Brihadaranyaka dates long before Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna. So when Arjuna, Krishna spoke to Arjuna Bhagavad Gita, this has been taken from Brihadaranyaka and put it here. Aham Altma Gudakesha Sarvabhudashya Sthita. In a very simple way, Krishna put it. Rather than, in the Brihadaranyaka, it's a whole chapter. How Brihadaranyaka says, it says like this, Ya prane sarvapane pranadandaram, as pranan it is referred to, as Andaryami. Then it is under addressed as Yo Vaji, the organ of speech, that is Andaryami. Then I is seeing because of Andaryami. Ear, all the five senses. Ear, similarly hearing due to Andaryami. Nose, smelling due to Andaryami. Tongue tasting due to Andaryami. The skin touching due to Andaryami present inside. So all the material elements, all the five senses, all the material elements, water, earth, air, ether and fire, the five material elements, they also don't know Andaryami is present in them. That's why they are functioning like in that way. That's why five material elements. So this whole chapter is called Andaryami Adhikaranam. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it is called Andaryami Adhikaranam. Only thing what Krishna has taken from there is this one verse to mention, because out of all this, important thing is this one, which is that Krishna is present inside as the Chaitanyam or living force in everyone, as the soul, Aham Altma Gudakesha. That's the most important one. So Krishna has taken that, and then the remaining ones will come to that later. So here, so Krishna is saying to us that in all living entities present as the soul, Krishna says, I am that. And so is that not a news for everyone? Sometimes if you say presence of the soul inside, we may start thinking, oh, there is some light inside. Some yogis say there is a light present inside. Just like they show in the film, isn't it? In the cinemas they show, you know, some Puranas, if you see how they show in the movie, this is like they will say Ravana is flying, but with this technology you can do a lot of things now, isn't it? Previously when they said Ravana was flying in an aeroplane, we had to imagine that. Now if you see Ramayanam, how Ravana is flying, you can see now. They have managed to do it with the technology. They show how Ravana is flying, how the arrow is shot and it goes like that, very horizontally like that, hit the other person, comes back. All kinds, whatever you read in the Shastram, they have managed to bring it out very fine a way into technology also, to show it to us, because we are getting more and more dull. So it requires more and more elaborate. Everything through pictures we have to understand. We can't read anymore. Like Windows 7 or Windows X, everything becomes more and more pictorial rather than writing. So Anyway, the thing is that we may think like this, God has some kind of light inside or some kind of illumination or something. That's a yogi's concept, isn't it? Some people say, I've seen the light, they say. But actually that light what is referred to, that is in the Shastram, it is called Pratyagatma. Atma means Pratyagatma. Pratyagatma is the word used here because this will be a problem. Many people, they don't want to follow any Shastram. This I have, you can see sometimes, people's nature. They want some shortcut. So there are other, what people do, they say, don't worry, don't study any Shastram. Just come and listen to something. And they don't want to go through Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam because they find it too laborious to study all these books and Shastram and everything, hearing everything. So they look for some course or some kind of program somewhere where you can go for a few days and attend some program and some shortcut method. There is no shortcut in all these things. You got to stick with Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, otherwise you can be misled in many places. So Pratyagatma, the word used by the acharyas, are saying this as word Pratyagatma. Because you can see, if I think I am this body, we will address the body as Atma. If I think the mind is the body, then mind is Atma. Atma has a word, can be used in all circumstances. If I think my intelligence as me, if I am identifying the intelligence, then that is Atma. That is called Atma. Pratyagatma means one who is all time in my experience, present in my experience. That is Pratyagatma. There is a difference there. When I am identifying with the mind, I call it as Atma. I can call it as Atma. It's not wrong. Because I am that now, at that moment, isn't it? Or when I am identifying with my body, I can call that body as Atma. You will see this in the Bhagavatam many places. Mind is addressed as Atma, body is addressed as Atma, intelligence is addressed as Atma. Depending on where you are identifying with. But Pratyagatma is that one that Bhagavatam Jadavarada says that Pratyak Prashandam Bhagaval Shabda Samyam Yavasudevam Kavayo Vadanti. You will see there. Pratyak Prashandam Bhagaval Shabda Samyam Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vadanti. Rahugana, when he was instructing Rahugana, he says this. So, what that is present in us all the time in our experience, that is called Pratyagatma. Why is it like that? Our inquiry about the self is beginning with us, not with somebody else. It begins with us, us as the beginning. So, who is present in all time in our experience? That is more important than anything else. Whether God is present elsewhere, in other form, other places, that is not the beginning. Beginning of the inquiry is about me first. Who is present inside? That is Pratyagatma. So, and this understanding, one has to read and think through these things carefully, because this is a part of the Atma Vicharam, or the inquiry of the self. So, one that is always present in our experience is called Pratyagatma. So, in other words, Atma is not something that you can talk about that, well, I have experienced that sometime before, either in the body or in the mind or in the intelligence. No. Atma, proper address, way to address that is, which is always present all the time in your experience, that is Pratyagatma. That is what is called Pratyagatma. So, if you give attention to yourself, you will notice there that the mind, body, none of them is constant, isn't it? It's not present constantly. See, most of the time we are inside the mind. We are identifying with the mind, isn't it? Sometimes you can see, you talk to some people, they may not hear you, even if you have told them something. Then they'll say, oh, I was somewhere else, my mind was somewhere else, they'll say. They themselves will say like that. Is it not? You must have had that experience. So what does it indicate? Indicates that they were in their mind, and the mind was somewhere else. I didn't hear you, they'll say. I didn't hear you. Even now when we are speaking now, whatever we are speaking, how much is going in? Not all, isn't it? Some part will go, some part will go out. Won't stay. Because mind is playing inside its part. So mind is going somewhere else. So it is not constant. Therefore mind is not constant. Constant means without any interruption. Not as least, without absolutely no interruption, that experience. Uninterrupted experience. If you have that, that experience is called Atma. And awareness or the soul's presence inside, consciousness, is the only thing which is present all the time. All the time. You cannot deny that, can you? That your own existence and awareness you are always conscious of. At no time you are separated from that. You are separated from that. When you go into deep sleep state, that question will come. What's happening there? I was not aware of myself. That's because that's not your fault, because that tamogunam has covered yourself very well. But you are present there. How do you know? When you woke up, the first thing you say, I had a good sleep. And who is reporting that? That I who was experiencing it in that deep sleep. So that is the proof that even in deep sleep, he was there. The proof is there as soon as you wake up that you are reporting that. So that is an indication of that. So who can deny this truth, what Krishna has spoken in these words? Who can deny this? It is impossible, isn't it? Any logic if you put into it, Krishna is saying to us, Aham Atma. Forget about me, Krishna says. My 200 form, 400 form, 800 form, so many forms have come here. Why worry about all that so much when I have a much more solid proof of me present in everyone? Aham Atma Gudakesha. There is no higher proof than that. You cannot have it. As we said, the definition of God, one who is present all the time, past, present and the future, Jagrat, Sapnam and Sushupti, plus who is present right now within us. And that is awareness, consciousness, in other words. So that is the reason why he is addressed as that you can see that when we talk about Krishna, what do we say? Nityobalabdha swaroopoham atma. Nityobalabdhi swaroopoham atma. Even Shukabrahmarshi, Sukadeva Goswami, although he has spoken Srimad Bhagavatam everything, in one instance in the first canto, if you look into the fifth canto, what did he say there? That is how we have to look at Bhagavatam. Otherwise, simply taking one verse and saying that, oh, this is, and saying something, whatever we have understood from that verse, that way it won't get you the message from the Bhagavatam properly. If you look into the fifth canto, and the story of Rishabhadev, how Shuga Brahmarshi himself, being the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look into the words, how Shuga Brahmarshi had to say this. Yeah. If you look into the sixth chapter of the fifth canto. Sixth chapter, fifth canto. Fifth canto, sixth chapter. The last two verses, 18th and 19th. 18th verse he is saying, Rajan Padir Guru Ralam Bhavadam Yadunam Devam Priyakulapadi Kojakingarova Astu eva manga bhagavan bhajadam mukundo muktim dadadi karhijalsvana bhakti yogam. Muktim Dadadi Karhijalsvana Bhakti Yogam. Parikshit Maharaj, after hearing about the departure of the Rishabhadev, he was very curious to find out what is our situation. So, noticing this change of on the face of Parikshit, Shuka Brahmarshi says to him, "My dear king, you don't have to worry. Seeing Rishabhadev's plight, Rishabhadev at the end, after leaving this body, how he left that body, that is what was spoken in that chapter before. Isn't it? How he left his body. And Rishabhadev instructed his children, 100 children, and then he left this world. That is all mentioned there. And while leaving Rishabhadev, you will see Rishabhadev's situation. If you read there, that is in the 5th chapter, it says, say, Ati Sukumara Karacharanora Stala Vibula Bahuapsa Galavadana Adhyavayava Vinyasaha Prakriti Sundara Sobhava Hasasya Mukho Nava Nalina Dalaya Mana Shishira Tara Arunayata Nayana Ruchira Sadrisha Subhaga Kapola Karna Kanta Naso Vigudasmida Vadanam Maholsavena Puravanitana Manasi Kusuma Sharasana Upatadhana Paragam Avalambamanam Kudila Jadila Kapisha Kesha Bhuri Bharo Avadhuda Malina Nija Sharirena Graha Grihida Ivadrishyata. There is one long verse like that where he says about Rishabhadev's state of the body at that time and the mind. Rishabhadev has put one stone in the mouth because he didn't want to speak. And the whole body was so dirty. He hasn't bathed because he has left the body already. The body is still moving because of the prarabdham there. And it was very dirty, long matted hair, grown hair, and the clothes also he has thrown away. Clothes have all fallen off. And people were all accusing him, abusing him, thinking that he is a mad person. Children were all making fun of him, and they were following him as well. But his state of consciousness, he says here, Manasi kusuma sharasanam upadadanam paraga avalambamana kudila jadila kapisha kesha bhuri bharo avadhudam. Avadhuda, he was an avadhuda. Malina nija sharirena, completely dirty body. Graha grihidam ivadrishyada. So he is going like this, and then he left his body in the forests in Kutaka, in Karnatakam forest, he left his body. So Parikshit Maharaj heard all these things, and he was a little bit shaken inside. That a great personality like Rishabhadev, if this was his end, I have come and sat here now to give up my body in 7 days' time, because I got only 7 days left. I am still not that detached from the world. Here, Rishabhadev's story, when he heard, he could see that he was an avadhuta, wasn't it? A great personality who has completely moved out of the body. And Parikshit is reflecting, because naturally he is thinking, what is my fate? What will happen to me? I have not given up anything. I have just come and sat here now, saying that I am willing to read. But I am not in that state of Rishabhadev. Seeing that concern in the face of Parikshit, Shuka Brahmarshi told him, Rajan Padir Gururalam Bhavadam Yadunam. That verse. See that verse? You have to see the mood of these devotees when they are talking. Don't read it like instruction, 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 everything. Then it won't make any sense. You won't understand what is spoken. You have to see why it was spoken in that particular situation and what is the impact of that verse on Parikshit. Shuka Brahmarshi is conscious of all these things when he is speaking. So he is saying to him, Rajan Padar Gururalam Bhavadam Yadunam. Isn't it? That is this. Devam Priya Kulapadi Chakkoja Kingarova. Why do you worry, Parikshit? After all, Supreme Person, Personality Krishna has come into your family. Just as a consolation he has spoken. To console him, not to get too disturbed over it. Because naturally, Parikshit is an intelligent person. He knows this thing called liberation and all is not something that you can
just buy in the shop. He is conscious of that. He knows that it is not simply given easily by Krishna. He knows all that. So he was concerned about the situation where he is at the moment. So seeing that concern on Parikshit's face, Shukha Brahmarshi told him, Rajan, addressing Krishna, addressing Parikshit, Rajan Padir Guru Ralam Bhavadam Yadunam Devam Priya Kulapadi Koja Kingarovam. He has appeared in your family, and not only that, he is worshipped by everyone in the family. And not only that, he has done so much for you, family members. To Arjuna as a friend, gave the Bhagavad Gita to him, and also helped the Pandavas all the way through, from beginning to end, isn't it? Pandavas associate Krishna was. And they all had felt great members, as a family member, they have taken Krishna into their life, isn't it? Pandavas has taken like that. So you shouldn't worry about it. That is that consolation, is that verse. Astu eva mangam Bhagavan bhajatam mukundo muktim dadadi karhijalsmana bhakti yogam. Also, he put a strong clause there. He says, because astu eva manga Bhagavan bhajatam mukundam, if you are dependent on that Supreme Person, Krishna, to such an extent, why should we worry? He gives liberation to everyone freely. Muktim dadadi. He gives mukti easily. Karhijalsmana bhakti yogam. But bhakti is not given so easily. That also he put it there to Parikshit. See that? He said that you can get mukti. Mukti should not be a problem for you because Mukunda has come and taken your association in your family. So he will guarantee mukti is concerned. But bhakti is sometimes a bit difficult too, because there is a problem. If he gives bhakti to someone, Krishna is saying, I have to follow them then after that. All the time. Therefore, bhakti is not given easily. After saying that, as soon as he has spoken that, Shukha Brahmarshi felt that let him not misunderstand what this bhakti means. So that is why in the very next words, immediately, he qualified that. What is that? Nityanubhuti. That is the bhakti Krishna is talking about. Not the bhakti. Nityanubhutam nijalabam Nivurta Trishna Ashraya Sadrajanaya Chira Supta Buddhehe Logasaya Karunaya Bhayam Altmalogam Akhyanamo Bhagavade Krishabhaya Tasmai Nityani Bhudam. Nityani Bhudam, that is God. Nityani Bhudi, always present. That is Krishna's qualification. This concept in our head that God is sitting somewhere, one day we are going to see Him there, this we have to throw it out from inside, because it doesn't help very much. Okay, early stages you may take that approach, that God is present, one day I'm going to meet Him somewhere. That is there in everyone's concept, it's like that. When you go to the temple also, that's how we think, isn't it? Today I'm seeing Him here in the deity form, but one day I'm going to meet Him somewhere. But when you go in that route, you'll never meet Him. Because you never wanted to see Him properly. That is the problem. So that is why even Shukha Brahmarshi here to Parikshit, he has corrected. Don't take it like that you're going to see Him somewhere else. No, Nityanubhutam. Nityanubhutam it is. Nityanubhutam means always present right now. That means including now, right at this moment. Krishna is present. That's the way we have to understand Krishna. Never to think that Krishna is somewhere in some Golokam which we don't know how many billions of miles away from here, and when we are going to get there. In that concept, if you live, then it is always a problem. No, Shukha Brahmarshi has not taught us like that. He's saying to us, Nityanubhutam, He's present there all the time. So, right now, we are talking about Krishna, and you are hearing about Krishna. And right now, we have to have that awareness inside, that and inside me, Krishna is speaking, inside you, Krishna is listening. That Krishna is present, we have to first recognize within ourselves. So, so you can see here that Upanishad says like this, Ada vandejayan nasti vartamane bi tathyatha. In other words, some time ago, we didn't have this body, isn't it? Body has come later. After a while, this body will go. In the middle, the body is there. Before we came to this world, we didn't have this body. When we leave this world, we have to leave this body here. So, whatever that is called a beginning, whatever that didn't exist in the beginning, and what is not present in the end, but what is present, what you feel that it exists in the middle, that is not truth. That is the Vedanta. Vedanta's position is like that. What is not present in the beginning, what's not present at the end, but it is present in the middle, that is not truth. That's not truth. Ada vandejayan nasti vartamane bi tathada. Body, first thing. If you take the body was not there in the beginning. After some time, body won't be there. But in the middle, you experience the existence of the body. So, based on that principle, what was not there in the beginning, what is not going to be there at the end, it doesn't exist in the middle also. I know it is sometimes difficult to get this. If I say to someone, body doesn't exist, he'll say, shall I give you a good punch and see if it exists or not? What will you answer? No, that's not how you understand this. That from the philosophical side, from the spiritual side, body belongs to Prakriti. Prakriti has put it on us. Prakriti will take it back from us. But because come from Prakriti, it will go back to Prakriti. And that is why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has very explicitly told us, Paraprakriti, Aparaprakriti. Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. Body is not ours. We think it's our body, isn't it? We all think it's my body, my body. And that's why Krishna in the beginning itself said that, I'm not this body. Body is not mine. Body is not meant for my enjoyment. These three things, if it is confirmed deeply inside, then you can escape from the body. Otherwise not. So, it cannot be true. That is the thing with this body. Body is not a truth. That is the situation with the body. The mind is concerned, it's continuously changing, isn't it? So, in reality, this is true because actually we don't have a full experience of this body. It's a very complicated thing. If you have to look at it this way, that how conscious are we about our own body? It's a good question to ask. How conscious are we about our own body? I don't know many things what goes on inside this body, isn't it? Like, we gave the examples before, blood circulation, breathing, food digestion, and various things, the growth of the hair in the body, the growth of the nails in the body, and how the body is changing, and I'm not even aware of that. Only when you are aware of that is, you suppose you had your photograph when you were 20 or 25, when you were very young, and you looked very youthful, and when you are 65, 70, I didn't know that I have changed so much. One day I looked at my own photo at 25 and now, and with all this thing hanging everywhere, the flesh is hanging, and I can see that the eyes are going inwards, and somebody says something, I have to hear carefully, otherwise I won't catch it. Like that, vision also going away. So many changes are happening, but I'm not aware of that change that's happening in the body, am I? I'm only in experience I'm coming to know that, yes, I lost my vision, I'm losing my hearing power, and body is changing. Well, now and then you look at your own body, isn't it? How much it has changed. That's all you can do with this body. But nothing is in your knowledge. You are not aware of that as much as you are aware of your own existence, awareness. So here, mind is like that. So suppose you are listening now. We are speaking and you are listening. Who is listening? Is the body listening? Or suppose I cut one of your hands away and I take it away and you will still listen. You can still listen, isn't it? You can still listen. To show that the body is not listening. Body is not listening. Who is listening? So, in similarly, suppose I cut your ears and put it in front of the speaker. Will it hear? The ear won't hear anything, would it? So you can look at it, all these things you will see here, that while you are hearing also, there is a beam which is going in the sound, through the form of a sound, going from one source to another source. From one source that sound is coming, and another source that is receiving that sound. Ardram, therefore, Upanishad says like this, the rishis see this body completely in a different way than the way we see this body. Ardram jaladi ahamasmi, jodir jaladi brahmahamasmi, yohamasmi, brahmahamasmi, ahamasmi, brahmahamasmi. That is Upanishad's statement about that. Vedam is saying like this, so in the fire there is something that is burning in the fire. But that object that is burning is not hot. It's cool, but it's burning. It is burning. Ardra means more or less you can say wet. So how can it be wet? Because Upanishad is saying to us that Vedam says it is ardram, it is wet. Why does it say like that? Because otherwise, if you don't say like that, if something is burning, if you say, you will say there is heat there. But there is no heat in this case. It's burning inside, but there is no heat inside. It's very cool inside. So Agni, the fire's one quality is this jyotis, light. Light and heat are combined with fire, isn't it? But in this case, there is only the light, but there is no heat. There is no heat. So, instead, it is very cool inside. It is very cool inside. So, that coolness inside is what Krishna is referring to here, sarva bhuta shayastita. Although Krishna is present inside, he is emanating light from inside. There is no heat there. Do you get that? The Krishna is present inside, but there is light coming from that. Jyotis is there. Even though Jyotis is there, it is very cool inside. It's very cool inside. Sarva bhuta shayastida. And he is present in everyone's heart and he is listening. That is why Krishna says there that Krishna is listening. We are not listening. Krishna is listening. I know it is hard. I mean, initially we will have a little difficulty in accepting all these things. But if you really do some inquiry about all these things, you will sense yourself that without Krishna's presence inside, you can't hear anything. All senses are functioning because Krishna is inside. That's what you are hearing. So, sarva bhuta shayastida. So that's called sattā, that essence inside, who is present inside. It is not a jīva, that is not a jīva, or an individual self, or a person. It's not a person, that is Krishna. Whose presence inside is helping to hear. We think that we are hearing, we think that we are seeing, we think that we are tasting, touching, smelling and everything. But actually, if Krishna was not there inside, you won't be hearing, you won't be smelling, you won't be touching, you won't be seeing, you won't be walking. None of the five senses of knowledge will be working. None of the five senses of action will be working. You know the five senses of knowledge and five senses of action, yeah? If I want to lift the hand, if he is not there inside, hand won't go up. If I want to walk, if Krishna is not there inside, I cannot walk. Generally, we will say like this, oh, the soul is there. But what is that soul? This is that soul. In every senses, it is not just like this. You have to clear, because that is Krishna. Now, it is not like a space in the pot. It's not like a space in the pot. You may conclude like that, oh, this is the body like a pot. Inside here, he is present there like in a pot. But this thing is not like that space, because it will create an impression that it's like a pot, the body is like a pot. You'll start thinking like that. And he is imprisoned inside this pot called body. But but the nature of this consciousness is that you cannot limit it to one body. It's not that he is present here and he's not present there. He's present everywhere. But while speaking, while beginning spiritual life, when the inquiry starts, you have to start like this. But later on, what happened is, now you can say Krishna inside, Krishna outside. Soul inside, soul outside. But real nature is not inside, outside. It's only he is present everywhere. It's only he is present everywhere. This relationship with body and the mind is quite a complex one. We normally think according to our conditioning, isn't it? We are conditioned to think that I am this body. So therefore I think when we say that Krishna is present in you, you take it that Krishna is present in the heart somewhere. So we identify with our body and the self in that way. That's the only way we are conditioned to think. But in reality it is not like that. Body came, soul is present everywhere. A form of thing called this body was put on this present way by the material nature. When material nature takes it away from this, there is no pot anymore. There is only one consciousness which is existing all the time. And at the moment when it is present inside this body, now as we are experiencing now, the only information we have or only proof we have at the moment is I am existing. My awareness of my existence, consciousness in other words. And that awareness is not jiva or it is not false ego. It's not false ego and it is not a person either. It's not a false ego. It is Krishna who is present inside. We address him as Krishna as per the Shastram. And that is not a false ego. False ego has a birth. That soul has no birth. False ego has a birth. Remember in the second chapter, when Krishna talk about na jayate mriyate va kadajin, it is about the self he is speaking. Jatasahi dhruvo mrityur dhruvam janma mrityasya is talking about false ego. That difference is, this will die. Which one? The false ego will die one day. It will not remain. Because it is born, therefore it has to die. Other thing was not born, so there is no death. Yeah, that is the prime, clear understanding of that. Atma inside, he has no birth, he has no death. If you accept this only, you can come to terms with Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise it is difficult, it will contradict each other. That na jayate mriyate va kadajil nayam bhutva bhavido vanabhuya ajaha nityaha shashvadaha puranaha na hanyade hanyamane sharire. Under no circumstances he dies. He lives forever. Who? Krishna inside. And only in his presence body can function. All senses are functioning because of him. Mind, intelligence, everything. Suppose he is not present there. Ego is there. It cannot function. Purely by the presence of ego, it won't work. But ego won't be there unless he is there. This is how that relationship is. So here, you can see here, that is not a jiva, that is not a false ego, that's not a person. But we have a thing called intelligence, isn't it? And that intelligence comes and creates a confusion in us, a bhramam in us, illusion in us. And just like we see a king, a queen, and a hero, villain, everything in the cinema, similarly, in this big screen of this creation, we have this intelligence has created in us, this varieties of species, varieties of bodies, varieties of existence here. And because that intelligence works in different ways, we have also this concept, someone is good, someone is bad. And this drama is going on. All these different bodies what we perceive here, because normally we see through the senses. Anything that you see through the senses, remember yesterday we talked about that. Atma, you cannot use the senses. world, you can only use the senses. Through the senses, whatever you see in this world, you will take a name and a form. You will give a certain perception. Something is good, something is bad, and something is male, something is female. All these are in reference to the mind and the senses. Nothing to do with the soul. Nothing to do with the soul. So this, what we are experiencing now in this world today, is another kind of cinema going on. And that cinema is telling us that this is what we are experiencing. It's not a reality in that sense. So there is cinema going on in the theater and a cinema going on in our mind also in the same way, isn't it? So if you look into yourself inside, you will see there, within ourselves, we ourselves have confirmed that we are a person. We are a person. And a movement is happening within us. Based on that personal concept of about ourselves is that ego. So ego is your pivot. Holding on to that ego, everything else you are building up in your mind and intelligence. So till that ego completely stops its movement, the movement of the ego is what is happening through your mind and intelligence all the time. It manifests through the mind and the intelligence, our ego, isn't it? Ego makes you absorbed in various things, identification with various things. And all your mental platform, intellectual platform, what you are doing, the anchor, it's all anchored to this ego. Is it not? You know that. It's very easy to understand. It's anchored to the ego. If the ego is not there, the mind and the intelligence cannot function. It is this presence of the ego to which it is anchored, the mind and the intelligence and senses, everything. So all of them are functioning and in the presence of ego, and when the ego disappears, naturally mind goes, intelligence goes, senses goes. That's why we say in the jnanis, self-realized souls, they do not do the vyavaharam like the way we do the vyavaharam. Our vyavaharam is centered around the ego, isn't it? So that movement of this ego, till it completely stops, tattva-jnanam, the knowledge what you have taken from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, it will not turn you into a Brahmanishta stage. These two words. One is tattva-jnanam. Tattva-jnanam means what? What you have studied from the Shastram and what you have got it as in your head. You understood everything, you have properly understood. But unlike your realization of the awareness inside, it has not become yours yet. It is still in your mind and the intelligence. So when it is in your mind and intelligence, it is called tattva-jnanam. When it becomes like your awareness, it has become you, you have become that, then it is called Brahmanishta, that you have become Brahma. You have become Brahma at that stage. So that is what, if you remember that word, words in the Bhagavatam, vadandida tattvavidam tattvam yal jnanam advayam. That tattvam becomes advaya jnanam. See that verse? Vadandida tattvavidam tattvam yet jnanam advayam. That tattva jnanam has to become advaya jnanam. Advayam. Jnanam advayam. It becomes advaya jnanam. Tattva jnanam means it is in the state in your intelligence or in your understanding, in the mind. You have understood. You understood everything, but it hasn't come to your experience. So tattva-jnanam will become Brahmanishta only when this ego completely goes away from inside. This jnana-margam is beautiful. It gives you all answers very clearly. And we have got personalities in the Bhagavadam to prove all these things. Jadabharada, Dattatreya, Rishabhadev, Shugabrahmarshi, Namadev, Tukaram, they are all personalities of this. Jnaneshwar, all of them. In the recent times, Jnaneshwar, Tukaram, Namadev, they are all this category. So, Tattva-jnanam, otherwise, Tattva-jnanam has to become Brahmanishta. Otherwise, Tattva-jnanam will remain as Tattva-jnanam. And Brahmanishta will remain simply as a concept. It will remain as a concept. So that Abhimana Vritti, that pride, ego, whatever we call it, which is also called as that Abhimana Vritti, when the ego is present inside, it comes and breaks that pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is one. But when ego comes in, it breaks the pure consciousness into pieces. And that is why Aham Vritti, it is called Khandanam. Khandanam means breaking up the Samvit. Samvit is that oneness of the pure consciousness. That is only one. But when Ahangaram has come, false ego has come, it has broken it into pieces. And it will continue to break it so long as that Ahangaram is inside. Ahangaram is the thing that breaks that pure consciousness of the one supreme consciousness, which is present, is broken into pieces. So now you can see that personality means this thing, Ahangaram inside, isn't it? False ego inside. So the birth of the false ego and the death of the false ego. Birth of the false ego, we call it as birth. And the death of the false ego, we call it as death. We call it as death. So, and aham vritti, this aham vritti means this thought of ego, it will continue to break that pure consciousness. And it is in that state we are identifying with the body. Even our self-enquiry is based on this body. The self you are inquiring after is based on this body, isn't it? So even when you are engaged in self-inquiry, you are thinking that only this one self is going to go back to the truth. That's our concept there, isn't it? Because of the presence of the body. And why? Because the ahangaram or false ego inside has not gone. It goes, breaks up stage by stage, it gets broken in life at different times. And eventually, finally, it has to die itself. It has to die itself. So, because it is like a brahmam, it's like an illusion in our my mental habit, that the mental habit, from there, all other complex comes. So, that is only a brahmam. That ahangaram, false ego, it's also a brahmam or illusion. So, and because I'm thinking that I am a truth, I'm thinking that I am a reality in terms of my existence, awareness. Instead of thinking awareness, I'm thinking about the ego. It's the ego I'm always thinking is reality, because that is what I am all the time identifying with, is the ego, isn't it? So because it is like that, I'm identifying with my ego all the time. I have this brahmam that I have a jiva. This is how jiva was born. Jiva's birth is like that. So in order to remove that illusion from inside, to take it away, just like there is water in the pot, the water is there in the pot, and in that water the sun is reflecting. And there is one sun in the sky, and that same sun is reflecting in the water in the pot. So somebody wants to see the sun, you show him the sun in the pot, inside the pot. Because if you look at the sun, it is painful for the eye to see. So instead, you show the sun in the water in the pot. If you show that to a child, the child will say, "Mother, this sun is moving inside the water." He will say, when you look, because the water is the small movement of the water, he will think that the sun is moving. Or he will say, if the water quality is not good, if it is dirty, then he will say, "Oh, the sun is dirty," because the sun is reflecting in the water. Or he may say, the sun is broken into two pieces. And if you break the pot, he will say, the sun is dead. Isn't it? So, so in the water which is present in the pot, if it is separately, the child will say, "Oh, there are so many suns in the water," if the water is present in few different places. So, but all these things, what's happening in the pot, in the water, in the tank, this has no effect on the sun in the sky. no effect on the sun in the sky. So we have multiplied in that way. I know it is difficult, all these things to come to terms with, because for so many lifetimes, so many bodies we had, and through all that bodies we have passed through, and we have come here in this body today, and we think that only with the body we can identify with. But in the position of the Upanishads, what they are telling us is that the reason why you are identifying so strongly with the body is because of this, that adhyasam. They call the word adhyasam. Adhyasam is the reason behind it. So sometimes you can see here some worms, I don't know what they call it, protozoa or something like that. If you cut them into two, it's a small worm, if you cut them into two, there is life in both. In both the worm pieces, there is life in both of them. So in both of them, this awareness is there, aham aham. So you wonder how it has happened like that, isn't it? So that is why in the Ishopanishad, when it started, what did they say? Purnamadam Purnamidam. Purnal Purnam Udachyate. This is Purnam, that is also Purnam. That is the beauty of the soul. You may come in different bodies, and you can see a child comes from the mother. Mother is Purnam. Child is also Purnam. Because the child is born from the mother, mother didn't become apurnam, imperfect, isn't it? Mother is still Purnam. Child is also Purnam. And the child grown up and child had a son or a daughter, he is Purnam. And the child that has come from the son, the born from that person, is also Purnam. So this Purnatvam is the nature of the soul. It's the nature of the soul. Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnal, Purnamudachyate. When you have broken into two, from mother to the child, originally there was only mother, from the mother the child has come. Now, just because the child has come, you did not break the false ego, did you? Did it mean that mother's false ego has been broken down now? No. Sometimes it goes the other way. So, that's what I'm saying, that these things, that the ego inside, that hasn't changed. That is still remains there. That you can keep on cutting it as many times as you want, and it will keep on multiplying it also. And in each one of that person who has come from the mother, there will be Purnata there. Perfection will be there. Purnatvam will be there. Purnamadam, Purnamidam. That Purnatvam is the quality of the soul. That perfection is the quality of the soul. Everything is Purnam. Everything is Purnam. Because actually there is only Purnam. Perfection is only there. Good thing is Purnam, bad thing is also Purnam. Knowledge is Purnam, ignorance is Purnam. Female is Purnam, male is also Purnam. Animal is Purnam, sky is Purnam. Everything is Purnam. So in one whom, in within oneself, where this Purnatvam, perfection has happened, for him everything is Purnam. Everything is Purnam. And why this Purnatvam, perfection, is not happening? Because we have not seen that perfection, Purnatvam, inside. First we have to see the Purnatvam inside. That Atma inside, even self-realization happens. That is what happens. That Purnatvam we experience inside. When the Purnatvam inside is experienced, then Purnatvam outside will be known. So that's what Krishna is saying here. Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarvam Bhudashayastida Aham Adhyamcha Madhyamcha Bhudanam Andamevacha. This is that Purnatvam inside of the soul. Who is Krishna? Is inside each and every one of us. But Krishna is saying there, Aham Adhyamcha Madhyamcha Bhutanam Andamevacha. In other words, I am the only, my presence inside that person is the perfection, Purnada. If that is realized, this Purnatvam, what we are talking about outside, will also be realized. Will also be realized, otherwise not. So first place where the Purnatvam has to be experienced is inside. Otherwise it's not possible. possible. We call them as Paramatma or Ishvara. In so many ways we will address him, but in all three states, Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti, and as a witness who is present there, and normally in all states, Aham, Aham, Asmi, that Chit, Shit, Shakti which has come from there, Krishna is present in everyone, in the heart of everybody. And once you have known that it is Krishna who is present inside, this illusion that we are Jiva at the moment, that Brahman will go, that illusion will go. Once we know that inside. How is the example? Like this. As long as you have the rope and there is a snake, since as long as you are seeing the snake in the rope, you will not know about the rope. As long as you are seeing the snake in the rope. Once you know it is not the snake, immediately you don't need anything else to know it is the rope. Once you come out of that concept that it is the snake, it is not the snake, isn't it? Then you know that it is the rope. In the similarly, so the appearance of the snake and the appearance of the rope happens at the same time. Same time it happens. These are all examples in the Bhagavadam. In the Brahmastuti you will read this, and there are one or two other places also mentioned this example of snake and the rope. That when the snake disappears, at the very moment the rope appears to us, isn't it? So in a similar way, the jiva hanta, the false ego inside us, which is making us thinking that we are limited self, located in this ekadeshiya satta, in one location, like that, it will disappear. And as soon as that disappears, our other realization, and that I am consciousness pervading everywhere, that will automatically happen at the very moment when this happens. When this happens, that the moment inside jiva handa, false ego, has disappeared, and as soon as it disappears, this limited self also goes. And immediately at that point, our eternal nature of pure consciousness manifests. And then we know that we are not limited anymore. And once who has reached that state is what we have seen in the Bhagavadam, in the case of Shuga Brahmarshi, Jadabharata, Dattatreya Maharshi, Rishabhadev, and few others as well. And only thing is, Suda Goswami, when he spoke about Shuga Brahmarshi, he openly put it to us, isn't it? He openly told us that that is his state. What is that state? Tam sarvabhuda hridayam munimanato asmi. You can't have a better proof than that, isn't it? What is that verse? Dvaivayano virahakadarama juhava putreti tanmayadaya taravo bhinedu tam sarvabhuda hridayam munimanato asmi. You can see Shuga Brahmarshi state at that time, isn't it? Shuga Brahmarshi has no localized existence. It's difficult, isn't it? We only know localized existence. When somebody says to you, how will you give him an address? He will be laughing at our passport and our address and phone number and all that. That is why when he left Parikshit, have you noticed, Parikshit didn't ask him for his phone number, or Shuga Brahmarshi didn't give a phone number to him. Phone number and address and all that is for localized people. Vyavaharam, you need all these things. But in liberated state, you don't need a phone number, do you? Why? Tam sarvabhuda hridayam munimanato asmi. It is a very something to think about when you are sit. You won't go crazy or anything. Think about that. That it's help you actually to understand that that is proper state. This is not a proper state where we are in today. Like he said that when he mentioned that yam pravrajantam anubhedam abhedakrityam dvaipayano virahakadaram ajuhava. Look at Bhagavatam, every verse, how much it carries with that verse. When Vedavyasa Maharshi called Shuka Brahmarshi back home, what did he say? Yam pravrajantam anubhedam abhedakrityam dvaipayano virahakadaram ajuhava. Putreditan maidayataravobhinedu tam sarvabhudahdayam munimanathosmi. Shuka Brahmarshi is saying about his spiritual master. Suta Goswami is saying about Shuka Brahmarshi. Suta is saying here, yam pravrajandam, what that is his state. Pravrajandam means he has taken to Parivrajaka Acharya. Parivrajaka means that he is not anymore anything to do with the body. He has nothing to do with the body. That is Parivrajana means. And anubhedam abheda krityam, that he has not executed, because only if you have a body, you need all the samskaram, isn't it? You know, there's 40 samskaram mentioned there. 40 samskarams for the Trivarnigas there is. And that's, when does that start? That start long before the birth. They are listed in the Smritis, they talk about it. Different samskaram for the Trivarnigam, the three varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya. But that starts way before, when the soul is invited to come to the womb of the mother. Before that it starts. Pumsavanam, Simandam, Chaulam, like that it goes, Karna Vedam, and then taking it out to the show, the sun. All these are different names mentioned there. Katuaham, that Bhagavatam, some few things are mentioned. All these samskaram is for whom? For the body. And this personality, Shuka Brahmarshi, when he appeared, he had no body. That's a very interesting thing. He has appeared in this world. His presence is there, but as far as he is concerned, he has no body. For Vedavyasa Maharshi's satisfaction, there is a body. So Vedavyasa Maharshi is calling him back, saying, come back my son, come back my son. You have walked away from here. And he didn't even answer. Who? Shuka Brahmarshi did not answer. Instead, who answered? Putra edi tanmaidayattaravo obhinedu. It was all answered by the plants and the creepers and the trees on behalf of Shuka Brahmarshi. They asked, What you want? That was the answer. And when these questions came from all these trees and creepers, everything, Vedavyasa Maharshi realized, my son is not like me. He's a little higher than my state. And that is why, Shuka Brahmarshi, Suta Goswami says, tam, that person, sarvabhudakhridayam munimanatosmi, who is present in everybody. That is that state we are talking about. So, you know, this verse is so important in the Bhagavad Gita. Which one? Ahamalma Gudakesha. Your spiritual life is completely centered around this. If you have a proper spiritual life. Otherwise, you can say so many other things in the name of bhakti or whatever you want to call it in another way. But spiritual life, proper way, if you want to understand that Krishna has spoken there, is this. That limited self, what we are today, that has to go one day, isn't it? We are now thinking we are limited to this body. Are we limited to this body? This is the question, isn't it? We can't even conceptualize or visualize in our thoughts that we are something beyond this body, isn't it? This is how conditioned we are by our thinking. We can only identify with the body, and even when we are liberated, also we are thinking, I'll be this body. I'll be taking this body to the spiritual world to enjoy there. This is how I am thinking at the moment, because that's how I've been told, that you'll be going there. And then there is example, Dhruva Maharaj came, the plane came, took Dhruva Maharaj in the flight, and he went back with him. Like that, examples in the Puranam you will find there. So this body, identification with the body, liberation with the body, and always remaining in the body will never go away from us very easily. till you come to the state of Sukadeva Goswami stage. That's a little difficult for most of the people to think in that way. They'll think that, oh, even after liberated, some people will think that even by leaving the body, generally we are happy if Krishna can keep this body going, as long as it's possible. We are satisfied. If you can do that for us, we'll say it to Krishna. But then we are seeing day and night, one after the other, everybody dropping off. So then we know that we also don't have any permanent existence in this body. But then we say that, well, when I go to the spiritual world, what body will I have there? What kind of, again, in terms of body only you can think. Can't think anything separate from the body. So you can see here, when Sudha Goswami is talking about his spiritual master, Shiva Brahmarshi is saying, Tam sarvabhuda hridayam munimana tosmi. That one who is present in everyone, sarvabhuda hridayam munim anatosmi. That sarvabhuda hridayam, that is his state. Sarvabhuda hridayam is his state. Munim anatosmi. I pay my obeisances to him. Sudha Goswami is respecting Shuga Brahmarshi's realization, in other words. And on that day, when Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, even though so many people were listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, everybody did not get that. Everybody did not get it. That, and that is why some people asked Shuga Brahmarshi, when can we hear Srimad Bhagavatam again? They asked this question. So at that time, Shuga Brahmarshi looked into the whole audience who were present there. And Shuga Brahmarshi knew only one person has got it. And that was Sutta. They say to him, look at that person who is sitting in one corner far away. Thousands of people were present there. That Sutta, he has got it. Why? Sitting in Sutta's heart is also the Shuga Brahmarshi. He knew that he has got it, nobody else has got it. So he says to him, he says to them, the rishis asked Shuga Brahmarshi, when can we hear Bhagavatam again? He said, go to Naimisharanyam. Sutta Goswami will go there and he will speak Srimad Bhagavatam. You can hear from him. That's how he replied. So a personality like Shuga Brahmarshi, when he speaks of Srimad Bhagavatam, is with full realization of this truth. Which one? Ahamalpa Gudakesha Sarva Bhudashayastida. Imagine speaking Bhagavatam in that state. We are speaking with our mind and the book and the mic and everything. That's our way of speaking. Shuga Brahmarshi didn't have a mic, didn't have a book. So that's the difference. When he spoke from that consciousness to consciousness. It is something very interesting to think about. What is spiritual life? That is spiritual life. Rising to that state. You can't bring it down to the ordinary man's level, these things. We have to rise to that level. Spiritual life is not something which you can simply by propagation alone, you won't get this realization. It is not possible. That is the only way you can do that is that if people take interest and they develop this way of understanding Bhagavatam in this way, then there is a possibility that they can progress in that path. Otherwise, it's not possible. So that is what Krishna is saying here, that this limited self, what we are today, has to go. And our unlimited pure consciousness state has to manifest. And once you have known that your Swarupam, your identity is that is unlimited in that way, all his karmam drops away. That is the point when his karmam drops away, not otherwise. You have to know the Shastram because in Bhagavadam, if you look, Vidyade Hridaya Grandi Chidyande Sarva Samshaya Kshiyande Chasya Karmani Drishtoye Valmani Ishware. Look at that words. It is the Upanishad words taken from the Upanishads brought into Bhagavatam with a very small change in the words. In the Upanishad it is Vidyade Hridaya Grandi Chidyande Sarva Samshaya Kshiyande Chasya Karmani drishto eva paravare, that is the words in the Upanishad. In the Bhagavadam, drishto eva atmani ishvare, that's all the differences. Drishto eva paravare has become drishto eva atmani ishvare. In other words, seeing the soul, Atma inside as the truth. That's all. And that is what Krishna is saying here. Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarvabhudashaya Sthita Aham Adhyamcha Madhyamcha Bhudanam Andamevacha. So you can connect everything very easily. It's not difficult. Bhagavadam's first canto, first chapter, second chapter, that verse comes. Suddenly, Sudha Goswami says these words in the middle of everything. Vidyade Hridaya Grandhi, that is the progression. First, the Hridaya Grandhi breaks up, which means that false ego dries up inside. Chidyande Sarvasamshayaha, it is at that point all doubts are clear. There is no more question answer business there. We like question answer, isn't it? We think spiritual life is all question answer right up to the end. There is no question to ask anymore. All great personalities, they never encourage this question business, questioning. What is there to question? The truth is as it is always. It's not going to change whether you question or don't question. What does it matter? Either we clear ourselves from our problems and come to understand what it is, rather than asking question and get it. It's not something to be clarified with questions. So, therefore, you will see that in many great personalities, they never encourage these questions for this reason. So, drishto eva atmani ishvare. So, in other words, when he starts seeing the soul as Ishvara Swarupam, Atma as Ishvara, it is at that point his karmam is over. Up to that point, karmam stays. Karmam is a topic discussed very elaborately in the Bhagavad Gita and also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and as including the Upanishads. Why? Because it is this karmam we are fighting against, and that is what has trapped us here in this state where we are today. And escaping from that is not so easy. Ishvara, drishto evaatman ishvare, Ishvara cannot have karmam, isn't it? Agama karmam, prarabdha karmam, sanjita karmam, all these things does not exist in Krishna. So long as you are thinking we are jivas, according to that, those period of time you have got karmam also. Jiva has karmam, Atma has no karmam. So when you are dreaming, suppose you are on the top of a cliff, a mountain, and you have fallen from there, from the top of the cliff, in the dream. But that pain, you have to only experience in that dream only, isn't it? The pain of that fall. If you experience, you will experience the pain when you fall. You will cry also, isn't it? Sometimes, in the sleep, people cry because they have experienced some bad dream, we say. But once you have woken him up, that's gone. So, what's happening there? That you have experienced some distress in the dream state. But that distress will be experienced only in that dream state. As soon as you come out of the dream state, you are released from that. So sometimes people fall from the bed. Isn't it? They fall from the bed in the sleep. They are having some deep sleep or some dream, heavy dreams they had. So, if they have fallen down, the first thing is they have to wake up from their dream. Then, once they have woken up, then there is no mountain, there is no cliff, there is no falling down, there is no pain, nothing. And nothing is there, and you feel normal again. So, similarly, when we have this false ego inside, abhimanam or pride inside, we have to experience good and bad in this world. Good and bad is also a product of this false ego inside. And that you have to suffer. There is no other alternative to that. So when that has gone, pride has gone away, our pure identity as Atma or Ishvara has Bhagavat Tattvam will manifest in that place in a natural way. and karmam, all karmam drops away at that point. All doubts goes away. That's what that word is saying. Vidyade hriday grandhi chidyande sarva samshayam. All doubts have gone. Kriyande chasya karmani. Karmam also goes away. You see, up to that point, karmam is kept in the shastra. See, karmam only leaves you up to that point. Up to that point, karmam is with you. So sometimes people feel this necessity to think that because we have become devotees, karmam has gone away. We have this misunderstanding. It is unfortunate. Because if you read Prabhupada's books properly, you will understand it is not so. In the bhakti process also, karmam remains. When does the karmam leave? Karmam leave when anartha nivritti happens. Up to that it is there. Anartha nivritti means all this anartha has to go. It is very in these principles, Jnanamargam and Bhakti Margam cannot be different. They are one and the same. Jnanamargam says, when you have realized as Atma, then you have released from the impact of karma. In Bhakti Margam, it says, Anartha Nivritti. Anartha Nivritti is all anartham has to go from inside. Just because I got initiated yesterday and I have a spiritual master, I have a name and a body, doesn't mean I am released from the karma. Karma hasn't gone away. It is still there. And because if it is not there, why am I suffering? How will you answer that question? People have all understood, oh, everything spiritual master has taken away, so I don't have to worry about it anymore. And this person who is suffering, who is saying this, he is going to the dentist or he is going to the surgery to see the doctor. If your karma has gone, why are you suffering then? Why are you getting sick? Where is the answer to that? No, that is not Shastram. Shastram is not agreeing with that. Shastram is saying to us, karma, when does it go? That's what that verse is saying. Vidyade hridaya grandhi, chidyande sarva samshaya, kshiyande chasya karmani, drishto evalpanishwere. When drishto evalpanishwere happens, kshiyande chasya karmani, not otherwise. So there is no simple point in trying to say things which are not there in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Bhagavadam. It's wrong to say things which are not right. We will mislead others also in that way. Kshiyande chasya karmani drishto evalpanishwere. Krishna, Suta Goswami is saying in the Bhagavadam that drishto evalpanishwere kshiyande chasya karmani. When you see Krishna inside the heart as the soul of everyone, kshiyande chasya karmani. At that point, karma has gone. Up to that point, karma is there with us. Karma is there with us. So what does this knowledge does, spiritual knowledge? What it does is, it removes everything. Ultimately what it does is, the person who has the doubt, he himself disappears inside. Who has the doubt? This ego has the doubt. Atma has no doubt, isn't it? The soul inside, he has no doubt. He is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is his nature. But then who is asking the question? False ego is asking the question. So false ego is asking the question, false ego is answering the question also. That is a question answer session. So drishto evalma ishwari. So that Atma Ishwara, showing that to a person is this verse. Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhuda Shastida. Aham Adhyamja Madhyamja Bhutanam Andamevacha. So Krishna is saying that it is only me, I am, who is present in inside all of you as Aham, 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 that awareness. So sometimes it happens that when you go to see, realize, suppose you happen to see someone who is realized, self-realized person, and when you go to see those people, in your own mind you may have a great adoration for that person because he has realized the truth. And it is possible that you may find some identification of him with a personality in the Shastram somewhere. Natural it is, isn't it? You may start thinking, is he like Jatabharata? Or is he like Sudeva Goswami? Or is he like Dattatreya? Like that, people will compare with one person to another. It's very difficult to say why it is like that. That comparing nature in us. Or sometimes we will say, oh, he is another incarnation of Krishna, or an incarnation of Vishnu, or Shiva, or Ramachandra, whatever it is. So, because they get a happiness, if you say that somebody is an incarnation of somebody else, they feel that, oh, then I can call him as a Mahatma, oh, he's an incarnation of. You connect him with some great person. If you say he's Krishna's incarnation, he's Krishna's incarnation. So you will connect him in that way. So then you'll say that, oh, he's a Mahatma because he's Krishna's incarnation. So when we do like that, we start thinking, independently a jiva cannot become a Mahatma? That question will come. Listen, do you have to be an incarnation to become a Mahatma? No, it is not like, Krishna has never spoken like that anywhere. Krishna says, all, if you look in the devotee's life also, people will say like this, that this is, generally it is spoken in the bhakti process, because people will ask this question, who is this person? Why, how did he become like this? So we have to answer something. Just like we will say, Jayadev, poet Jayadev, Gita Govindam he wrote. Generally people will say he is an incarnation of Sudama. Sudama has come as Jayadev, they'll say. Similarly, they will say Kabir is an incarnation of Prahlada. These are all among the people, ordinary people will speak like this. Kabir is an incarnation of Prahlada. And similarly they also have Tukaram is an incarnation of somebody like that. So in all these cases, you can see, you can say so many things, but you haven't got any solid proof to say that, because independently, all of us are divine, isn't it? All of us are divine. Because bhakti can develop in anyone's heart, and it's not that only Prahlada, Namadev and Tukaram has got any hope. We have no hope. Only they have some hope. Why do we waste our time then? This is another side to it. When we study all the life of all these great devotees, like Prahlada, Tukaram, Namadev, and Tyagaraja and all others, and because we say that they are the incarnations of some great soul, and we get formed this impression, they have got some hope, we have no hope. If it is like that, why should I bother wasting time? I have no hope anyway. Only they have got the chance because he is Prahlada, that's why he has got hope. I have no hope. So if I come to that conclusion, then that's wrong. Krishna hasn't said that. Prahlada, Namadev, Tukaram, Shankaracharya, everyone are like us, made of the same substance. Nothing different. The substance with which Prahlada is made, Shankaracharya is made, Ramanujacharya is made, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is made, the substance is the same, what is inside me and them. Otherwise it makes no sense, isn't it? If they are different quality, then I'm made of a lower quality. Bodily, I agree. Bodily, subtle body, everything is the same. But inside me, that vastu, satta, inside, in them and in me and in all of us, is one and the same. Only if it is like that, there is some point in studying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Is it not? If it is not like that, well, if I start thinking they are made of a high quality stainless steel and if I am made of a very poor wrought iron, then what hope is there? Wrought iron is not going to become stainless steel like that. The same grade, the same person inside Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shankaracharya or any other acharyas, great devotees, the vastu inside is the same as the vastu inside all of us. Our problem is this, the moment we, otherwise all this shastra, what is the use? That is what you have to remember. Aham Alma, when Krishna is saying to us, all this is implicated in this verse. Aham Alma Guda Kesha Sarva Bhuda Shayastida. And that Sarva Bhudam includes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, or Tukaram, Namadev, anyone, everyone included in that. Sarva, that is why Krishna uses Sarva Bhuda Shayastida. Otherwise, I have no hope, have I? Only they can go back home, back to God. They can come, they can go. I am still as I am. It is not so. That's not true. That is why Bhagavad Gita is always keeping everyone in it. this philosophy and only answer that question. Otherwise, if you start thinking that naturally you will think like this, it's unavoidable, that we are studying the history of all the great devotees and we are thinking, or they are manjaris in the spiritual world, or they are gopis there, what will be me when I go there? I'm not a gopi, definitely. I'm not a cowherd boy either. And what will be my job there? This question cannot be answered. Nobody can answer this question. It will remain as a question only for the rest of the life. And then when you leave the body and go, you will find something different there. And then solve problems later. So these are there in the Shastram. Great devotees, when you study, you will, when you are identifying with them, with someone, you have to keep all these things also in your mind. Otherwise it is a problem. If you don't think that only Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami or the Shat Goswamis, only they could go to spiritual world and they are the only ones who are, all this is permanently established positions, all the jobs are filled in, there's no vacancy there. What do we do then? We stay here till the vacancy comes up there. So how do you explain all these things? So that is why Jiva's state has to be understood properly. Jiva is nothing but false ego. If the false ego gone away completely, what is the greatness in Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami? That false ego is completely gone. So in their pure state, they are as pure as Krishna's purity is in them. So great the degree of purity in them. And Krishna is also vouching for that. Nirabeksham munim shandam nuruvairam samadarshinam anuvrajamyaham nityam puyeyetyangrirenubhi. Only then it will all make some sense. Otherwise, not. So we'll continue after a few minutes.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam Shreya Kaitava Chandrika Vidaranam Vidyavadhu Jivanam Anandam Budivardhanam Pratipadam Purnam Ridaswadhanam Sarvapna Sopanam Param Vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namna Magari Bahuda Nijasarva Shakti Tatarpida Niyamidas Maranena Kala Edadrisham Tavakriba Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeva Midrisha Yohajani Nanuragaham Tranara Vishuni Jena Tarorabi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Then Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamva Jagadi Shakamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadad Bhakti Rahai Dugi Toyi Ai Nanda Tanuja Kingaram Patitamam Shame Bhavambudo Kripayatava Pada Pangajastida Duli Sadrasham Vijindayam. Ai Nanda Tanuja Kingaram Patitamam Shame Bhavambudo Kripayatava Pada Pangajastida Duli Sadrasham Vijindayam.
What's the next verse?
Nayanam galadashrutharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira pulagair nijidam kadavabu tavanama grahane bhavishyadi yugaidam nimeshena chachusha pravishaidam shunyaidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name ashleshyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karotuva Yatha tathava vidhata dulambano matprana natha astuna evana para.
That is the Shitrashtagam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. I'll just read that translation. So.
Then, glory to Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtanam movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious.
O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings. And thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. O my Lord, when all my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly, when I chant your holy name, when will my voice choke up and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. I know no one, and Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me broken-hearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. So, aham alma guda kesham sarvabhuda shayastida aham madhyam jamadhyam cha bhutanam andameva cha. That's what we were looking at, isn't it? So, so this thinking that people have, that everyone who has realized the self has to be an incarnation of someone, that's also a misunderstanding sometimes. Because whether it is Prahlada or Namadev or Tukaram or Janishwar, then it is impossible for us to have any interest in spiritual life, isn't it? So, but that aham which is in Tukaram, that aham which is in Shankaracharya, or that aham who is present in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and in all of us, that awareness is one and the same. They are not different. So, so this question will always be there, that because of our conditioning, we think that it is not possible for others to come to that state. So, so when once this question came up, when one sannyasi came to an ashram and asked the sage present there, that who are you? Who's your... Who is, are you someone from the higher planets who have come down in this form? And in answer to that he mentioned, I am nobody. I am actually that awareness inside who is present in everyone. That is the way they see it. Realized soul will see it like that. In our conditioned state, we will think that they are somebody from the higher planets or some higher personality has come in another body like this. That's how our mind works in that way. But from their point of view, there's only one consciousness who is present, and they are that consciousness. So that thing is Krishna saying here. Ahamalma gudake, if this aware realization comes, ahamalma gudakesha sarvabhudashayastita ahamadhyanja madhyanja bhudanam antamevacha, if this realization comes, then there is no another second person present in that way. One who is present in everyone as Atma, who is present inside. And just like Brahmanas, when they chant the Gayatri, they look at the sun and chant the Gayatri. Because in that state, you need a Devata, Upasya Devata. For Upasana's sake, you need that. Because our vision is going to the world outside. We are not going inward, not able to go inward. So therefore, they have these focused on sun, for example. Sun planet, they are focused. And addressing the sun, they chant the Gayatri. Why? Because inside realization hasn't come to that Aham Alpa Gudagesha state hasn't come. So, in the case of many Vedic mantra also while they chant, the principle is that you have a form in front and for your meditations, and while living in this world, there is no better form than sun, who is full of effulgence and always light and always present. Therefore, sun is standing before us and we have approached him in that form, deity form, we approach the sun. Also, from the Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, you know that the sun is the first recipient of knowledge, isn't it? Imam vivasvade yogam proktavanaham avyayam vivasvan manuve praha manurakshakave bravid. So our principle, our understanding at that time is that if Krishna is God, he should appear in front of me. Or if Ramchandra is God, he should appear in front of me. Only if I see the form, I'll believe it. Krishna says that kind of understanding of God must go from inside. So, and sometimes people say also, for such and such a person, Krishna has appeared. So he has seen God. I have not seen God. He has seen God. Krishna says that is not how you relate with God. You understand God in this way. What Krishna has spoken. What is that? Aham Alma Gudakesha. In that way, if you are able to relate with Krishna, that will remain permanent. Any form if you have taken, when the form appears, it will disappear also. Nothing will stay in you. But awareness will stay. Awareness will stay. So, the source that why they have selected the sun as the source. Sun is a manifestation of Krishna. In what sense? Because just like this aham inside is present in every living force, every living entity, and it is a source from which all living force is operating, isn't it? Similarly, in our bodily level, for maintaining in this world, sun is required. Sun is the source of our existence, isn't it? So that is why sun has got such a importance in the Vedic system, in Vedic tradition. Sun has been given a lot of importance because, like aham, Krishna inside, as awareness, is present inside, is the cause of our existence in this body. The very existence of the body also is dependent in the material nature in the presence of the sun. Sun's existence is important. So, therefore, and that is not completely known to us, how the sun has its effect on us. Okay, the doctors and the scientists will say, at least for vitamin D, you have to go to the sun. That's how we see the sun. This is what I was saying yesterday, that our education has made us like this. What to do now? We will only understand this language, vitamin D and vitamin C. And they have told us that there is a lot of helium gas there, which is burning there. And when the helium runs out, it will drop. Sun will drop. And they also calculated sun's life, these scientists. And we believe that also, without any problem. we are totally agree, because scientists have told us. What the acharyas have said, Krishna is saying, Shastram is saying, no, we have doubts. But science says, yes. It's okay. They must be knowing, because they're scientists. You should know. They know something what we don't know. This way we have become trapped in that. Mainly this is our difficulty. And because of all this, when Bhagavad Gita we read, we say, we don't understand anything what Krishna is saying. We have great difficulty there. So, so they say so many things about the sun, but we know one thing, that he is the source of life in this planet. If he is not there, our existence is questionable, whether it will happen, isn't it? So, and that sun who's present here, that Chaitanyam is present in him. That is how Vedam sees that. Vedam sees sun, that Krishna is present in that planet. That is why the Krishna is saying that he is the another manifestation. Surya Narayana he is called. Surya Narayana. Surya Narayana means because Krishna is present there, therefore sun has effulgence. And therefore there is life. What is more interesting is, this is more interesting. We say, scientists also agree, that we have life, getting life from the sun. That's why we are able to survive here, because of the presence of the sun. And that one which is sustaining life here, and we are saying he has no life. How is that logic? Due to the presence of the sun, we say we have life. Our life is being kept. Life is sustained by presence of sun planet. And we are saying the sun planet, there is no life. There's only, but he is keeping us alive. This is the logic. He's keeping us alive, but he has no life. What do you think about that logic? So this is science. This is science. Prabhupada never accepted this. Never. No, he said, at all times he said, they are nonsense, he said. There is no logic in that, he said. And Vedam is telling us, Rishis are telling us, there is life in the sun. There is life in the moon. That's why this moon controversy started from that. When we went there, as they say, they're gone. I don't know whether they're gone or not, but that's another thing. We don't worry about that now. But they gone there and came back and said, there is no life there. Shastram says there is life in the moon. In fact, all the plants and the trees, farmers know this very well, everywhere in the world, that moonlight makes the vegetables and the fruits to grow better. Moonshine, isn't it? Aushadhi, they call it. So that one which is supplying life to the plants and the trees, we say yes, no life there. Where is the logic in that? Like this, there are so many things if you go through this, but science has made us like this, to think in this way. And we got all the degrees, that's the problem. That's made us like this, that we think that it can't be anything else. So so the person, the Brahmana who is worshipping the sun, externally he is worshipping that form there because he can see with the eyes. And that person whom we are worshipping there, and the person who is inside that, is also the same. Aham Atma Guda Kesha Sarva Bhuta Shastida. Inside you he is there, inside the sun he is there. He is not different in the sun as well as the moon. It is the same person. And these devadas whom we worship, like sun, the moon, and sometimes different stars, all of them, there on a full moon day, if you like, if you look at that, it says, Raga Chandra Samana Kandi Vadana. Sri Parvati's face is compared with that. Raga Chandra Samana Kandi Vadana. In the Lalasa Sam, you will see this explanation on that. Rishis did not see the planets and other things as dead matter. They never looked at them like that. All the other planets have, because as far as they are concerned, life is present everywhere. Without the presence of Chaitanyam, they cannot do function otherwise. If the moons are glittering from there, there is life there. And in the stars are glittering, there is life there. There is life in the sun, there is life in the moon, there is life everywhere. Therefore, Upanishad says, life sarvagata. Krishna uses that word sarvagata in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Nityam sarvagata sthano, achaloyam sanadana. So why does Krishna say like that? Sarvagata. Sarvagata means is everywhere. Life is everywhere. We may not see them. That's another thing. Because what we see is limited to our senses and the perception, power of perception, isn't it? So there, this this principle that the way, of course, the way it is spoken is that Raga Chandra Samana Kandi Vadanam, that when moonshine is coming, sunshine is coming, it is her smile. Sri Parvati's smile, that is. That's a way of saying like that. And the same thing, that what you are experiencing these planets, that same thing is present inside all of us as awareness. Inside all of us as awareness. So, so in order to know this, that it is the same source where we are tapping our energy. Like for example, in our body, there is a source there from where all the thing we are tapping from there, isn't it? The mind, the intelligence, the ego, the senses, everything is tapping its energy from there, that source. And that source is the same source which is present in the sun. Which is present in the sun. It is only that purpose that they perform this upasana, Gayatri upasana. When they perform Gayatri upasana, this is the mantram that sings, they say. But when that mantram, when it is chanted, and because normally Surya Gayatri, they say the main Gayatri, what they sing, other Gayatris have come later. That Gayatri mantram is addressing to the sun. Savitra Prakasha, it also mentions the Bhagavadam. Then if you look into the 12th canto, you will see at different times of the month, 12 months, in different months, Krishna appears in these different, in the sun planet, in different forms. And their names are also mentioned there. 12 Adityas, Dwadasha Adityas they are called. Dwadasha Adityas. So Dwadasha Adityas, 12 Adityas are Krishna's present in the sun planet at 12 different months. So purpose of all this upasana, this meditation is this. If you invest all your bhakti or love or for Krishna, if you put it in one point, one day you will realize it, that the Antaryami who is present inside us is the same Antaryami who is present in that planet also. In that planet also. And that is the way that realization comes. Then he says that at that stage, there is no difference in my realization and the realization of that Supreme Truth who is present in the sun, who is present in the moon. This essence is the same in present in everyone. So in the Brahmachari, when he goes to the Gurukulam in the Rishi's times, when they go to him, he is talked about first about fire, how to light the fire, isn't it? Brahmachari Agni Adhanam it is called. Agni Adhanam means that in Brahmachari stage, when he is chanting the Upanishads or Vedam Suktams, he is done normally in front of the fire. So Agni Adhanam, and why Agni is given importance? Because initially Acharya won't talk to him anything about it. There is a story in the Upanishads about it. Satyagama, it is one of the Upanishad stories, it's a famous story it is. Satyagama went to learn Shastram from his spiritual master when he was 5 or 6 years old. He went to his ashram and spiritual master saw Satyagama and found out this child has got a lot of potential in him spiritually. Already had enough, looked very brilliant with his spiritual, they could recognize that in him. So he told him, go to the forest and spend there time. Spend time there in the forest and then come back after 12 months or so, he said. Or when you realize the truth. So he took all the cows and went to the forest. He was told, you take all the cows, go to the forest, and after you have realized the truth, you can come back. He says to the child. The child goes to the forest. And in the forest, he is observing. The child is observing. He is keeping a connection with all the animals in the forest and all the trees in the forest. And in the forest, he was experiencing the lightning and the thunder and so many other birds. He has relationship with all of them in the forest. And he learned this Brahmavidya from them. This is purely that state of that person. Then the spiritual master recognized that this child will pick up Brahmavidya very easily. Doesn't require much of a lesson. All what is required was a contact with the Prakriti, with the nature. And exactly that is what has happened to him. Simply spend time in the forest in the association of so many different species of life. But because he was alone and because he was not sent to school, that was his good fortune, that it worked for him. Now we have to, what do they call it, detoxify everything, what has gone inside, to get us to the normal state. And to get that purity inside that boy when he went into the forest. So person, when he has gone to the forest to tend the cows, after some time the cows have reminded him, should we not go back now? Cows have started speaking to him. Should we not go back? By now he has become a Brahmanishta. Now, if you ask a question, has he studied Bhagavad Gita? Has he studied Bhagavadam? No, he hasn't. But what he said, that from previous lifetime, he must have gone through this process and he has reached a state in his life that when due to prarabdham he had come now, but that vasana inside was so overpowering and the spiritual master had the power to detect that, his state. This is the duty of a spiritual master to see that different students will have different levels of realization. Everybody is different. You can't put everybody in one pot and say that you all do the same thing and all of you will make the same progress, all of you will go back to spiritual world same time. It doesn't happen like that. Today we are together, tomorrow we could be get different bodies in different places. There is no answer to that question. But the realized souls in their association in them days, Upanishads times we are talking about, they took these students and they took them very seriously. They taught them Brahmavidya according to their ability. That is important, according to their ability. In Satyagama's case, the spiritual master knew that the student has got enough potential in him. He doesn't require a lot of instructions. Given time, he will become mature in spiritually. That vision spiritual master had to see in him. That's an amazing power it is, isn't it? To see in a student much in advance that he has got that spiritual potency in him. So he sent him to the forest. Given time he will come out with the properly. So told him to take the cows and go to the forest. He milked the cows, drank the milk and stayed in the forest. And when the time was over, after 12 months or so, the cows started asking him, shall we not go back? And at that time he realized that, I'm realizing the truth, why shouldn't I go back? He comes back with all the cows and bringing them back to the ashram, to the Gurukulam at that time. So, where did he learn from all these things? He learned from the nature. And even then, he comes back and says to the sage, to the rishi, instruct me on transcendental knowledge. After realization, he says, why is that? Because this in this Satyagama's same Gurukulam, there was another boy called Upakosala. Upakosala was this name. From different rishis and through different sages and different brahmacharis, different techniques have developed. In Upanishads, there are various methods spoken for realizing the truth. Upakosala Vidya, it is called. From this brahmachari Upakosala developed, it's also called Akshipurusha Vidya or Upakosala Vidya. It's a vidya that is developed through Upakosala. And similarly, there is Dahara Vidya, Kuhaka Vidya. There are so many vidyas spoken. You will see in the Upanishads, a number of vidyas spoken there. So, when he came back, Satyagama came back to the ashram, this brahmachari was sitting there and he was performing this Agnya Adhanam very nicely. That means sitting there in front of the Agni and lighting the fire, and you have to keep that fire going without getting it extinguished. It has to burn 24 hours, 7 days, 365 days a year. Continuously. It will never go away. That means somebody has to be responsible for that, isn't it? In order that the fire burns constantly. If fire goes away, that's not good, because on the Agni as the witness, all there chanting the mantra. And lot of them are addressed to Agni. So looking after Agni is an important part of that process. So when he came back, When he came back, no instructions were given for a while. So the spiritual master's wife one day felt a little bit concerned about it. She is also keeping an eye on the children. She looks after the children, in other words. So she says to the spiritual master, the guru, wife says to him, that why haven't you instructed him anything till now? So many months he has gone away, you have not instructed him anything. And up to what point has the spiritual master responsibility? He has to instruct him on spiritual life, the tattvopadesham has to be given to him. And later on, if we depending on the decision of the spiritual master, he has to make the decision whether he should get married or not. That is, before that marriage, what they call it as samavartanam. Samavartanam is the ceremony before that. It's one of the 40 samskaram. So samavartanam was not performed for him, nor was any instructions given to him. To this brahmachari who has come back from the forest, Satyagama. We came back here, Upakosala was sitting there, and Upakosala was continued to performing his Agni Adhanam, this Agni sacrifice there. So when these things are happening, the rishi's wife says to the rishi, that why haven't you done anything? You're not instructed anything to Upakosala also. He has been here for a long time, like Satyagama has been there, but you have not done anything. As soon as she said this, what he did? He went away from the home. He left home and went for a journey, a long journey. He went away for quite a long period of time. And after about a year or so, he comes back. Who? The rishi. Rishi comes back. So when he came back, he looked at Upakosala and he looked at Satyagama. They are all both burning with effulgence. That face looked so effulgent and tejas in their faces of Brahmavidya in them. So Satyagama, Upakosala who was present there, he looked like Satyagama. So Satyagama asked Upakosala like this, that who has instructed you in spiritual life? So he says that I was performing Agni Adhanam. Agni, I was always watching the Agni. Watching Agni means what? You have to keep the fire ready, dry wood, isn't it? And then put the fire when it is needed, in wood into the fire. And if you feel that the fire is going to go, you have to pour ghee into it and keep that fire going. So he says, one day I was serving this fire, he says. Who says? Our Upakosala. Upakosala says, I was serving the fire, and suddenly from the fire, this demigod Agni woke up and spoke to me, he says. This rishi says this, he says, Prane Brahmam, Kam Brahma, Kam Brahma. Three words he spoken and he disappeared. Prane Brahmam, Kam Brahma, Kam Brahma. Sky is Brahmam, Pranan is Brahmam, and everything is Brahmam. Three words he spoken and he left. So then Upakosala says there, keeping that, I have performed by self-inquiry. And I realized it, he said. Upakosala says to Satyagama. So Satyagama says, whatever Agni has spoken to you, Agni has spoken to you, I have realized the same thing in the forest also. So, and then Satyagama, because he was realized from the nature, Upakosala has realized from the fire. Spiritual master told Satyagama to give instructions to Upakosala. So naturally, the rishi knew the difference between Satyagama and Upakosala's state of realization. Then Satyagama instructs Upakosala on the Brahmanishta. And he says here that the Upasana, upasya devata, or any form what you worship, ultimately from that form, instruction has to come. Knowledge has to come from there, isn't it? It is not that deity worship means I sit there and do this every day, day after day, thinking that it's a deity and I'm a different person. The perfection comes, eventually you are expecting from this worship something, isn't it? What is that expectation? Transcendental knowledge, realization, self-realization. It has to happen. So different personalities you will see, they have worshipped different forms. And from them they have received this transcendental knowledge in different ways. Transcendental knowledge was given to them. Then after that, they may not go to the temple again to continue with the worship. It may not be necessary for them. Why? Because they have realized it. Once the realization has happened, only then your realization is such that you are not seeing that form anymore as in its manifested form. You are seeing the truth in there, isn't it? In the form. Just like, suppose you have realized Krishna in Gokulananda. You realized it. If you have realized it, it may not be necessary for you to go to the manor anymore. You are seeing Krishna then, properly, isn't it? Gokulananda is a manifestation of Krishna. So it doesn't become necessary for you to go, only because you have already realized that knowledge, Krishna has instructed you, Aham Atma Gudagesha Sarobhuda Shastida. After that realization has come, then there is no question of going to the temple, going to see the deity and do the deity worship, everything. It may not be necessary, I'm saying. It's only happens at a stage in spiritual life before your realization. Up to that point you have to go. There is no other way. You have to go. But here, what Krishna is saying here, that they may go to the temple afterwards, but there is no worship anymore. Why? Because they have realized Aham Atma Gudakesha. Krishna is standing there, is inside me as Atma. Then who is worshipping? Whom will you worship then? Sarobhuda Shastida. That stage has come to them. So then they may still go to the temple, but they'll go look at the deity and they'll come back. They're not seeing, they cannot worship the deity anymore as a deity form. It is, from now on, it is Krishna who is present there. And therefore, and they will not recognize Krishna's presence in other living entities also. This is all pure devotee state. As Bhagavatam says in the sarvabhudeshu yappashyen bhagavel bhavama atmana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. Bhagavadottama. Bhagavadottama means first class devotee is one who sarvabhudeshu yappashyen, in everyone seeing Krishna. Krishna's presence in everyone, not only in the deity. Seeing in the deity means it's on the third category, not even the middle, the lowest one. Only in the deity Krishna exists, that one. So sarvabhudeshu yappashyet bhagavad bhavam almana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. That is why, so that we don't have any misunderstanding, we don't want any misconception about it, therefore in the Bhagavadam Shuka Brahmarshi put it very bluntly, those things. He didn't want any confusion about it, to make us aware that the truth is like this. Don't twist it or change it or make it other way. That does not mean that you are ridiculing deity worship. Don't take it in the wrong way. It is only a change, shift in your vision, in our realization. So here, here you can see that once that Atma Swarupam, self-realization happens, so so here suddenly Krishna felt a feeling for Arjuna. Krishna, suddenly that feeling came out. And when it came out, these words came out. Which one? Aham Atma. Krishna, Arjuna, inside you, it's me. Same thing happened with Uddhava also. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see. Have you noticed that in Bhagavatam? Same thing. At one point, Krishna, I'll show it to you, that verse. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, between you and me, there is no difference. To say this, something has to happen inside Krishna to say this to somebody. And it is at this point, it has come out from Krishna's lips. This Aham Atma Gudagesha. I am inside you, Arjuna, it's me. And Arjuna was really electrified by hearing that. Because normally we think, oh, Krishna is someone somewhere far, far away. And when we will get to know him, we are busy with our rounds and our rules and our regulations and our institution and our hierarchy and our books and whatnot, everything. And our offenses and so many things we have accumulated in the name of spiritual life. All that has no meaning when you take these words from... They are all in Vyavaharam, all these things, isn't it? Then we start thinking, oh, I have committed so many offenses, that's why I am suffering now. So I have to apologize to the whole world that I have done so many things. So you can see in the Bhagavatam also, when Krishna was talking to Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, there is that priyam that comes from Krishna's heart. When he sees that devotee Uddhava and he saw Arjuna in the same way, that's when it comes out, flows very freely from inside. And when it comes to the peak, that's when this comes out. Aham Atma Gudagesha Sarvabhudasya Sthita. There's no difference between you and me, Krishna is saying to Arjuna. I am that, it is you, it is inside you. And how much happiness Krishna, Arjuna must have felt when Krishna said that to him. Isn't it? So in the Bhagavadam, if you look there, trying to think where it was. I think it was in the... If you look into the 14th chapter, verse 15, 11, 14, 15, you'll see this flowing from Krishna sometimes, that feeling for the devotee. He says there, Natadhame priyadama Almayo nirna shankara Naja sangarshana nashri Naivalma chayatha bhavan. What a recognition, imagine that Krishna is saying. Natadhame priyadama, nobody is dear to me like you, Uddhava, he says. Almayo nirna shankara, Lord Brahma is not dear to me. Lord Shiva is not dear to me. Krishna is saying this to Uddhava. Naja sangarshanam na shri. Sangarshana is Balaram. Balaram is not dear to me. Na shri. Lakshmi Devi or Rukmini Devi is not dear to me. Naivalma jayatha bhavan. I am myself not as dear to me as you are. Naivalma jayatha bhavan. That is the way it works. This is spiritual life. This is spiritual life. Rules and regulations won't work here. Here there is no rule regulations. Nothing will work here. If you ask Krishna, how does it work like that? How many rounds Uddhava has chanted? Or how many parikramas has he done? Where did he take initiation from? If you ask all these questions, you won't get an answer for that. That is how it is. That is how it is. You just have to accept it like that. Natadhame priyadama Almayo nirna shangara Naja sangarshanam nashri Naivalma jayatha bhavan. To say this, to come from Krishna's lips, it requires a lot of feeling inside to say this. He's saying even Rukmini Devi is not as dear to me as you are. Not even my own self, he says. And there you have to notice that when this statement is made, Naivalma jayatha bhavan, Practically, Krishna is not differentiating between Atma and Uddhava. There, it is the same situation. Like in the case of Sukadeva Goswami, it's the same state Krishna is speaking there. Naivalma cha yada bhavan. That Atma which is in me is that what is in you. They are not different. They are no different. Same one consciousness. Present inside him, present inside me. Otherwise, if you start thinking everything is separate, they are all some big men sitting in the top and we are here begging for mercy all the time. Where is this going to come to an end? That is not how spiritual life is. This is somehow we have developed an understanding in this way, that God is there somewhere far away and one day we have to go there to see Him. But that is not what Krishna is saying here. In this verse at least He is saying, Aham Atma Gudakesha. From Aham Atma Gudakesha, these words you have to understand it in this way only. That He is there inside my heart and approach Him in that way, in that relationship. So, Krishna called him Gudakesha, isn't it? Arjuna was called Gudakesha. Gudaka means sleep. Gudaka means sleep. Gudakesha, Gudakayaha Ishaka Gudakeshaha. That is the expansion of that. So one who has won the sleep, won over the sleep. Now you may start thinking that Arjuna never sleeps then. Is that what it means? So what it means is that in order to realize the self, we have to become freedom from that sleep is necessary. It's not something that has happened by forcefully controlling the sleep. Just like Ekadashi time, sometimes people stay overnight without sleep, isn't it? They engage in some kirtanam or something, they try to sleep. But that you can do for one or two nights. After that, you can't do that. But due to self-realization, you will come out of that sleep. Like Goswamis, Sanadana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and other many Goswamis, they didn't sleep. Sometimes they slept for an hour or so in a few days' time, they may have slept. So waking up from that ignorance, ajnanam, avidya, that is the sleep that I'm talking about. otherwise, if you don't sleep, you will go crazy. You'll go crazy. Only through self-realization, if you lose the sleep, that is okay. But forcefully, if you put it on to any body, that body will go mad after that, isn't it? So, Gudakesha, Arjuna is addressed as Gudakesha. So, so instead of, I want to become Gudakesha, like Arjuna, and I don't go to sleep at night, that doesn't mean I'll get the realization. I won't have the knowledge. Nothing will come to me. So, in other words, he has won over sleep. It means that he has won over the sleep of avidya or ajnanam. He has won over that. So if you sleep more than what is necessary, tamogunam will come. Tamogunam will come. Similarly, if you sleep in the wrong time, tamogunam will develop. I don't know whether you have noticed this. Morning hours, early hours in the morning is meant for spiritual activities. Sometimes we think that's the best time to sleep, isn't it? Lot of people think like that. 4, 5, 6, that hours in the morning, 4 o'clock, 4 to 6. So if you have practiced not sleeping at that time for a long period of time, many years, if you haven't slept in that Brahma Muhurta time or whatever we call it, that early hours in the morning, if you haven't slept, and then suddenly you decided to sleep at that time, you will see that at that time when you sleep, you will get all the bad dreams. And when you wake up, you may feel fresh in the body, but that tamogunam will be very strong inside you. You will see that tamogunam very strongly inside. This you can try it out, experiment it yourself and see for yourself if it's correct or not. Because if you sleep at that time, what happens is the intelligence won't function properly and it will be very difficult to realize the spiritual knowledge, to get the spiritual knowledge. Therefore, rishis, sages have told us what time to sleep. And that is a general shastram. It's not an absolute thing. It's a general shastram. And they also told, these are all general things. Don't take it as absolute things. You should sleep in the night. Don't sleep during the day. These things they have told us like that. Now what has happened? Nighttime all working. All day sleeping. This is now the life is. What to do? Nighttime we are working. Daytime we are sleeping. For what? That question comes there, isn't it? But what you'd do? So, and then in the day, you are walking around just like the balloon. When you release the air from that, how the balloon goes? Many people are like that. Because they are working whole day and in the night. Whole night they are working. And the night, daytime they are sleeping. And by afternoon they wake up. Lot of people, because their work is like that. What to do? They wake up 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they have to go to work. And if you observe them at that time, 4, 5 o'clock, they'll be just walking around. They don't know what they are. Completely lost time, space, nothing. All they know is how to go in the night. They're waiting for the darkness to come so that I can go to work again. This is our existence today. And we want spiritual realization in the middle of all these things. So that is why it says here that they can't sit properly, they can't walk properly, they can't speak properly at that time. Because these are all symptoms of that tamogunam, sleeping in the wrong time, how it develops inside. If you have slept many hours during the day, then you will notice that when you wake up, of course, at some stage in life, it becomes impossible. Body cannot handle it anymore. So sometimes you may need some rest during the day. But Prabhupada used to say you can sleep for an hour or hour and a half, something like that, if it is absolutely unbearable. That if you have got up in the morning and very difficult from 3, 4 o'clock to right up to 9, in the evening, in one continuous stretch to stay awake. So he has said you could sleep for hours. But generally, the general rule is that you sleep during the night and stay awake during the day. So once this tamogunam builds up inside, jnananishta, to fix in spiritual knowledge, is very difficult, very difficult. So if it is like that, how do we win over the sleep? So winning over the sleep means does not mean that you don't sleep, but according to the necessity, according to its order, in a particular order, if it is all in its correct slot, then you're okay. Suppose you have regulated your life in such a way that you have fixed hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, whatever. We have fixed for that hours in a regulated way. If you sleep like that, that is all gudakesha means. Like in the case of, for example, in the Goswami's life, if you look at it, you will see they didn't sleep, but they did sleep. They won't sleep every day for 8 or 10 hours like the doctors say to us. They'd sleep a few hours every day. Or sometimes they may have slept in a few days for a few hours. That depends according to one's spiritual realizations. Arjuna's case, when Krishna says here Gudakesha is addressing, means Arjuna has certain discipline in his body. He sleeps for a few hours when it's necessary. In other words, he is not infected with tamogunam. That's what it means here. So when you have to sleep and going to sleep and sleeping at that time properly, that is the control of the body. Control of the body. So this is important because sometimes people don't get sleep at night, isn't it? When you go to sleep, you don't get sleep. And then what will happen if you go and sit somewhere? The mouth will open. You'll start your yawning, will come. And so that is Krishna's mercy, that is, that as soon as you lie down, you need to get sleep. As soon as you lie down, you get to sleep. And similarly, as soon as you wake up, you should wake up. That means you should come to your senses. And after you've woken up, you should go back to sleep again. That's all things to take care of. Because sometimes people, they get up and it takes for an hour or two for them to come to. Have you noticed that? Some people, I'm also like that, that's what I'm saying. When I wake up, immediately I can't get into function, action. I have to sit somewhere. Otherwise I'll go and tumble over something or fall somewhere. Something will happen. So it happens due to age also, it happens in people's life. But once you have woken up, you should stay in the waking state. Sometimes you say, oh, now I got up, I'll sit and have a snooze for some time. Or I'll go and sit in a sofa set for a while. That means officially I woken up from the bed, folded the bed and bed sheet, everything. But actually I've not woken up. I am extended my position from bed to the sofa set, isn't it? So these are all things, but that is not how it is. This is not that Arjuna didn't have all these kind of problems. That's what Krishna is saying to him. So half sleep, we say. I'm half asleep, we say, isn't it? So as soon as you lie down and sleep comfortably, at the right time, if you're able to sleep, at the right time you're able to get up, whatever that time, 4 hours, 6 hours, whatever that is, that means you have won over the sleep. You have won over the sleep. Many of us have difficulties, I know that. Like people take sleeping tablets to sleep. But without all that, that's what it is. Not with the sleeping tablets you sleep and wake up when you want. Without all that, if you have got that rhythm of the body and the mind properly, that you are able to sleep, going to bed and sleep for a few hours what's necessary and wake up and fully awake, that is sattvaguna. Tamoguna is sleeping at the wrong time and after waking up, staying in that state, half this way, half that way, half jagrat, half sushupti state. That is all tamogunam. That's all. So that is an important thing. And so if everything is in its order, the body, the mind, everything, then you have made it. You have made it. Then it is a success. So body, if it is properly disciplined in that way, in an order, and if it is disciplined that way, then you may not have to think a lot of time about your own body. This is important, isn't it? That is why I'm saying, we have got some all false ideas about this, that if you're running around all over the world all the time, how can you have a regulated life? Impossible. It's not possible. You are flying from here to New York. Oh, I'll catch a night flight so that I won't lose my daytime. That's the logic behind it, isn't it? So I got into a plane to travel to New York, but the next time when I get to New York, I haven't slept the whole night in the flight. Nobody can sleep unless you're traveling by first class or something. But ordinary people, they have to live with that, what is there, isn't it? So you lost your sleep, your body is all disturbed, and then you want to have, that means that next day you are in tamogunam, you are not in sattvagunam. You won't be able to absorb anything on spiritual life, your shanti won't be there. Krishna says about shanti, that shanti state is not only for the mind, it's also for the body. Body, mind, intelligence, everything in the shanti state. So staying in a system, that is why, in order to have that system, it is for this reason that the rishis have told us, you have a schedule, nitya anushtanam it is called, every day. Remain in one place and practice it every day. Don't run around and complicate the life. Nitya anushtanam. Nitya anushtanam means daily you have to do it. So therefore what happened, as soon as you wake up, you need to do your primary things as far as body is concerned. Then after that, a certain amount of time in spiritual activities, chanting the holy name, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, if you are doing deity worship, that. A few hours, you settle up for your disciplining the body and the mind in particular way. So the sages are saying to us that you have to do this every day, 7 days throughout the year. And if it has happened like that, there is no question, oh, today I won't do it, I'll do it tomorrow. Or I will accumulate all my rounds for month holiday and I'll go and do it in the month. That's not how you do it. Nitya anushtanam. It should be done every day. If you keep doing like that, the advantage is you won't spend a lot of time thinking about your body. This you know, it doesn't have to be explained. If you live a regulated life in a controlled manner without messing around with your daily life, wandering around here and there, everywhere, but always living in a disciplined way, the body will not demand much from you. Your attention in the body will not be there. That's the advantage. That's the advantage. And that is a big advantage when you get older. Youngsters may not feel that so much, but when you get older, you will know how important it is, that discipline. Discipline helps at that time. Regulated life. So if it is like that, if that discipline, Nitya Anushtanam, comes, at the right time you will do the right thing. At the right appropriate time, like time you get up, right up to, you have a schedule every day that I'll do these things every day, and you become regulated in that way and you'll do it. Whereas if you develop a habit of running around everywhere, doing so many hundreds of things and trying to do, the whole life will be a misery. It'll be simply a misery. Misery in the sense that spiritually you won't make very far. You'll just do a lot of things which are totally not very conducive for your spiritual. So it seems another thing in the nature. Jnani also, once he settled in his realizations, what has happened is his body is still an object in the material nature. You see, even though he has realized the self, his body is still a product in the nature. And that body, because it has practiced in a particular way, it will continue to function in the same way. So, and whatever order he has followed, whatever system he has followed, because different people have different anushtanam, isn't it? Different charya, they call it. Charya means that different way they have set up their life. So it's an important thing to follow this process. You can see this also if you look into the... Where do we get this understanding from? Rishis found out this one thing from that they looked at the nature. They found the nature, everything is in an order, isn't it? Summer, and then autumn, then winter, and then spring. The seasons are coming on an order. There's an order in the nature. And similarly, they looked at the animals, the birds, everything. They all have a system they follow. They follow a system, isn't it? It's amazing, some of these birds, if you look at their life, how they move from one continent to another continent according to the weather conditions, and how they go into, hibernation. And so many things they show, our people are studying them about the birds and the animals and their lifestyle. They have come to the conclusion that they all live in an order according to the nature's arrangement. They all follow that very rigorously. And and similarly, the birds also, if you observe them, they'll say they build the nest in a particular place and they know how to build it. That much technology they have, what they need to build the nest. And similarly, they go away from another place where they know, and they know the appropriate place to where to build the nest, all these things. And the things like rain that comes at the appropriate time, and and the growth of the wood, the trees, plants, everything, the gardeners and farmers, they know the interaction between the plants and the weather, isn't it? So, and another interesting thing here is that they also have sex life, the birds and the bees also, and they have children as well, born from them, and they also know how to feed them. Everything so structured, very well structured, isn't it? What's interesting here is, for example, if you take the example of the crows, 10,000 years ago, how they lived, they are living exactly the same way today also, isn't it? So, and we, every day if we don't change, we won't get sleep at night. This is how we are. That is the difference between, The rishis noticed this and they understood from these birds. That is why birds and the bees, they don't need psychiatrists, mental hospital. We need them. Why? Because of this. We broke the law. They didn't break the law. They were tuned to the nature. So therefore, among them, you don't see any crazy ones. Whereas in our species, everybody is crazy. What, this is the reason behind it. All of us are one way or the other crazy. I can't say no, because it is as it is, it is. And our craziness only we know ourselves, how crazy we are. And this is because of this only. We have created this it ourselves. A lifestyle we have developed in the name of progress, completely broke away from the nature, don't want to follow any rules imposed, continuously fighting against the nature. Everything what nature has done, we want torn apart everything. Is it not? The whole, I'm talking about whole human species now, not talking in terms of one country or the other. All over the world, the same drama is going on. If you are traveling and we found this car and then you want to go at higher speeds in that, then we HS1, HS2, high speed 1, high speed 2, it goes like that. Planes not fast enough. We have to make it faster than that. Like this, where is the end? So therefore all the problems also coming from that. So if you look at the nature, all of them live by surrendering to the nature. They follow the rules of the nature. They surrender to the nature because they don't think anything. That is the benefit they have. In other words, they remain in this world as a product of the nature. Nature is fully in charge. Nature is fully in charge. So all the birds, you can look at them. They all follow the rules of the nature. And they are nothing, they are not any special creatures, special creatures. We are the only one who are the special creatures in this creation. Why? We stay away from the nature as much as possible. Just like a tumor in the body, a special growth in the nature. That is this human species. Human species. So what I'm saying all this thing is, in this verse, Krishna is saying, if you have come to realize this, aham alma gudakesha sarva bhutashayasthida aham adhyanja madhyanja bhutanam andamevaja. If this realization has come to you, you will be 100% in tune with the nature. Your nature will be like that. Completely in tune. Why? Because you have woken up to the truth. Ahamalma gudakesha. You can't be otherwise. You cannot be. This will be the important shift that will happen. When this realization comes, ahamalma gudakesha sarvabhudashayasthita. Because when this realization happens, all living entities will be in tune with the nature. In tune with the nature. So you can see here that he becomes an object in the nature. The person who has realized this truth. Like all the birds, if you look at them, they sleep at night, isn't it? And except the owl. And so if you, when you wake up in the morning, if you look at the sun or if you look at the trees, you can see that this is a higher meditation than your any other meditation what you do in the morning. Seeing that nature and recognizing that how they all live according to the system, how they follow the system, whereas we don't. And therefore, there's no higher realization than that. We are thinking that, oh, I'm going to the temple for Mangalarati and I get my mic in the front, mrudangam in the front, and I make a lot of noise. I sang my Guru Puja, Guru Ashtagam in the morning, and I had my harmonium and mrudangam, everything there. And you look at these birds, they are also singing their Mangalarati in the morning. But the way they sing is that if you give your attention to that in the morning, when they sing their arati, that is much more genuine, realistic than our Mangalarati. It is the truth. We won't be able to deny this because they live their life based on the laws of nature. We don't. So therefore, because we don't, even our bhajana, even our spiritual life also becomes artificial, because everything else is artificial. Whereas for them, their hunting for their food is natural. Everything is natural. And at the same, therefore, their sleep is natural, eating is natural, sex life is natural, and their defense is also in a natural way. For us, everything else is artificial. Only in the morning we go at 4:30 to Mangalarati, and we think that, oh, today I have done my spiritual life. Actually, proper spiritual life is in that the birds and the bees, what they are doing, they are living in tune with the nature, in tune with the, never breaking any law in the nature, isn't it? Then what else do we do? We are the most funniest species in this creation, this human species. We have developed our understanding of spiritual life like this. So I went to the temple, came back, and then I thought I should be engaging in such spiritual life. So in the morning, you know, there are so many channels on the television, Asta and so many others, switch on and watch a few lectures in the television. And seeing all that things, I think, oh, I had a good spiritual life whole day today. Everything I've done it perfectly. But that's not enough. You may hear or not, that's another thing. Hearing Ramayanam, Bhagavatam, everything from the TV is not enough. Is not enough. So, because all these things are like the nursery class. How long could you sit in the nursery class? Which one? This way of spiritual life is in the nursery class. If you start doing what the rishis have done, then you can see that CDs and the TVs is not enough. CDs and the TVs are not enough. We have to see it through the nature. Through the nature. So, because all these verses what Krishna has spoken is very much in connection with the nature's life, with the lay in nature. That is why rishis realize the truth. Whereas we have been here, we have created an artificial way of life, and we want to realize what the rishis have realized. And that's why it's not happening. So it says here that in the morning when the sun is rising, we close the curtain and watch the TV at that time. Isn't it? So at the time when sun is rising in the morning, all other animals and birds, they all great pleasure they take and they come out. And that's why they sing at that time. Isn't it? We don't take notice of it. He says, oh, it's such a nuisance. Close the window. Pull the curtain out and listen to everything. So other living entities, other species, birds and others, they are feeling ecstasy when the sun is rising. Isn't it? So that is why when they fly away from their nest, it's just like a rocket, they fly off from their nest in the morning. So, and all these birds also, they sing very different in different times, isn't it? So, that song, what sings comes from the birds, in Sanskrit they call it as kalam. Kalam is the word they use for that. So, in other words, very sweet sound. And that same word kalam, Shuka Brahmarshi uses in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, while discussing about the rasa dance. Isn't it? He uses that word there. So in their sound, it's always very melodious. And melodious means that meaning to any sound is given by the intelligence. Intelligence gives the meaning to a word, isn't it? Similarly, their melodious songs is sweet in the sense one has to hear that. So how do they feel happy when the sun rises in the morning? How well they feel happy in the morning. Similarly, in the Vedic times, I'm talking about Rishi's times, much before Krishna's appeared, long way before that, Upanishad's times, which is the most ancient time, even the historians agree with that. Upanishad's time is the most ancient times. Even in those times, the Rishis, they were very immensely pleased with the sunrise in the morning. That is why, if you look into Ishopanishad, in the verse mantra 15, 15th mantra in the Ishopanishad, you will see what does they say. Rishi says, Rishi is saying this. ഹിരൺമയേന പാത്രേണ സത്യസ്യ അഭിമുഖം ത്വയം പൂഷൻ അപാവൃതം. Is that verse? 15th verse. 15th mantra. Hiranmayena patrayana satyasya abhihitam mukham tattvam pushan abhavranu satya dharmaya drishtaye. Now, the translation is, O my Lord, sustainer of all that lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. Now, if you just read the translation, what you may think like this, that this is actually addressing the sun, that golden effulgence is addressing the sun, saying to him that that effulgence that's coming from you is external, but inside that you are there, show your that form to us. Hiranmayena patrena satyasyabhi abhimukham satyasya abhihidam mukham tattvam pushan apavrano satya dharmaya drishtaye. This is the sage's words on the in the morning when they, that is when these words have come about. Now, there are how many verses in the Ishopanishad? 18 verses, isn't it? How many chapters in the Bhagavad Gita? 18 chapters. Ishopanishad expanded is Bhagavad Gita. You may not know this. You will know it when you understand Bhagavad Gita properly. 18 verses of Ishopanishad, expanded form is this 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Ishopanishad is too, how do you call it? It is really taken the very essence, condensed to the very minimum, bare minimum. That's why it has become 18 verses. The same Brahmavidya, what is in that 18 verses, expanded in 700 verses in the Srival Bhagavatam in 18 chapters. And these 18 chapters more expanded into 18,000 verses in the Bhagavatam. Brahma Vidya is the same. If you get to know this link between Ishopanishad, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, then you will know that what is Brahma Vidya means. That's when you will know that. We are thinking all these are different books, isn't it? This is just like when you go to university, you got one textbook for zoology, one for history, one for geography. We are thinking like that. Bhagavad Gita is one textbook, and Bhagavatam is another book, and Ishopanishad is another book. No, it's not. Vidya, Brahma Vidya is one. That Brahma Vidya, rishis condensed it to the very bare. That is why Ishopanishad is very difficult to understand. Even with the purport. You can read the purport. How much do you understand after the purport? Very difficult. It is difficult. It is not possible because it is too condensed. The rishis have seen in their realization to so condensed way, in one verse they could put the whole thing. So 18 verses, if you remember this, in the Ishopanishad, expanded into 18 chapters in the Bhagavad Gita, again expanded into 18,000 verses in the Bhagavatam. This way it goes. It never ends. So we'll discuss next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.